General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
Pacific Justice Institute offers a free seminar and a comprehensive video that will help business leaders break through this fear to legally live and share their faith with their employees, customers, and communities in ways they never would have dreamed or imagined before.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Addison's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with 5 types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AddisonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and 2 sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and 2 fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans' issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Better, I feel like. I feel like every time I have a conversation with someone I disagree with, we shouldn't be able to talk sports so we can sort of distract ourselves and remind ourselves what we have in common as human beings. Instead, we should really just, you know, club each other over the head about politics. That it's made the world better. That's how I felt on opening day. I felt so much better about America knowing that extraordinarily rich baseball players were kneeling to protest in America's systemic racism. I felt, I don't know about you, I felt great about it. Great. It was good stuff. We'll get to this in just 1 second. But first, I want to talk to you about internet freedom. Have you been noticing these social media companies not only cracking down on your ability to access content, but also following your data? They're using your data to make money. I mean, this is what they do. But why should they do that? Your data is your data. You need ExpressVPN. The problem with big tech companies, they don't just track what you do, but they also use that data and they use it against you. Okay, the fact is that ExpressVPN can protect you. The big tech companies will use data to serve you ads that can match your activity to your offline identity using your device's unique IP address. When I use ExpressVPN, these tech companies can't see my IP address at all. My identity is masked and anonymized by a secure VPN server. Plus, ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from hackers and internet bad guys. If that sounds complicated, well, it's not. ExpressVPN software takes a minute to set up. One click, you are now protected. So, why give tech companies a free license to know everything about you and then turn around and monetize your information? It's time to take back that privacy at ExpressVPN.com/Ben. By visiting my special link, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. It doesn't like save money, right? Again, that's ExpressVPN.com/Ben. ExpressVPN.com/Ben to protect your data today. So last night, the Yankees and the Nationals kick off the MLB season in an empty stadium by kneeling, not for the national anthem, but before the national anthem, while holding a very, 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 very long black cloth, which has solved all of our problems, Merca. Amazing. They all knelt. Now, why were they kneeling? They were kneeling to protest systemic racism. Systemic racism. The vaguest, most weasel word, weasel phrase used in American politics today. It means virtually nothing. As John McWhorter has said, as Glenn Lowry has said, the term systemic racism has very, very little meaning. It's deliberately designed. Glenn Lowry, the professor at Brown University, who happens to be black, he pointed out in my program yesterday that the term systemic racism is basically just a way to silence debate, because by saying systemic racism, you now suggest that anyone who disagrees with your take is in fact a racist. So all the players, who, by the way, are disproportionately of color. I mean, the MLB is not disproportionately black, but it is disproportionately Hispanic and Latino. The MLB, you have all these people who are earning millions of dollars to hit and throw a baseball, kneeling for the systemic racism of the United States, which is always wonderful. They knelt for it, and they played a beautiful video from Morgan Freeman, a social justice catechism, right before the game. And frankly, I'm looking forward to the seventh inning kneel. I think that'll be the new aspect of Major League Baseball. That's really exciting. Instead of standing for the national anthem, I think we should kind of just sit for it generally. And also, mostly for the seventh-inning stretch, seventh-inning stretch is not woke enough. I'm sorry. It smacks of privilege. You even have time to stretch? How many people around America cannot stretch today because of income inequality? How many people around America are forced not to stretch? Stretching is for white people because yoga is a white people thing. Okay, no more seventh-inning stretch. We need to stop the seventh-inning stretch. Instead, we need to play Donald Glover's This Is America, and everybody needs to kneel. It's the seventh-inning kneel. That's what we need from now on. Okay, so Morgan Freeman led off the season with a bizarre, meaningless video about empathy. Because, of course, the implication is that if you disagree with kneeling for America's systemic racism, you're not empathetic. Right? That is the goal of this particular video.
Change and create a new canvas of optimism. Empathy must lead the charge. This moment signifies our charge, our brotherhood, our unity. Equality and unity cannot be until there is empathy. Today and every day, we come together as brothers, as equals, all with the same goal, to level the playing field.
Okay, there's only one problem. Okay, empathy is actually kind of bad for politics. The reason that empathy is bad for politics is because it leads you to empathize with people that you are more likely to like as opposed to people you don't like. Okay, so first of all, the pitch for empathy is actually, there have been several books that are written on this, social science books, talking about how empathy is not actually the best thing for politics. It actually almost deactivates the reasoning centers of your brain. Because when you're empathetic, you don't actually create good policy. This doesn't mean that feeling sympathy for people is a bad thing. It means that if empathy is what drives your policymaking, you're probably not acting in a rational fashion. But the real goal here is, of course, not to generate empathy. The real goal here is to suggest that if you disagree with the idea that America is systemically and institutionally racist, you are not an empathetic person, and therefore you're a bad, cruel, and callous person. Right? The idea is that empathy is really about it's really a moral statement about what kind of good person you are. And you can't watch baseball until you say it along with Morgan Freeman. You can't. You can't just watch a game and be distracted, which is the goal of sports. Now, listen, none of this is to say, really, obviously I'm being incredibly sarcastic, none of this is to say that players don't have a right to speak. They do. Now, I think that every player has a right to speak just like every other American. I think also their words should be taken with exactly the same amount of seriousness that their expertise on the subjects dictates. So when it comes to actually hitting a curveball, the actual art of hitting a curveball, I'm not an expert on that. And when I sound off about it, you should take it with a grain of salt. Right? I flamed out as a baseball player at age 12. But when I talk about, you know, systemic racism in the United States, its meaning, economic inequality, you know, things that I've actually spent years studying, then probably you should take it a little bit differently than a baseball player who spends zero time studying it, but knows that they're supposed to kneel for the Morgan Freeman social justice invocation before a baseball game. You know, that we don't have to take everybody's opinion with the same amount of seriousness, but we are now being dictated to really by the corporation that is MLB, right? It's not really the players. So some of the players are doing this kind of stuff, and you take them with about as much seriousness as they deserve. What's actually happening right now is that the major corporations have decided, just like all major corporations across America, that if they virtue signal in incredibly vague fashion about things that social justice warriors want, then they can buy off the social justice warriors. That's really the goal. The goal here is not about forwarding any particular good in the United States. The goal is avoiding the blowback. It's the same reason you see so many corporations across the United States paying Robin DiAngelo to educate their people on diversity. Right? They don't actually care what Robin DiAngelo has to say. They're just trying to limit their liability. It's the exact same thing with regard to these major sporting events and teams and corporations. Their goal is to avoid public blowback. They don't want to be called out for not being empathetic enough. So if instead they quote-unquote lead the charge by saying incredibly vague things with no actual commitment to do a thing, and with no actual prescription, well, then they've fulfilled their pledge. They've been shamed into repeating and believing. And this is why you see the Boston Red Sox unveiled a giant Black Lives Matter logo at Fenway Park yesterday. I mean, enormous, right outside Fenway Park. Really, just perfect, perfect. Like, again, the basic idea that Black Lives Matter is utterly uncontroversial. The group Black Lives Matter is a neo-Marxist organization. The semantic overload that has been placed on the phrase Black Lives Matter is deliberate. Okay, when folks in the Black Lives Matter movement say they want to tear down the entire structural system of the United States, they are not lying about that. And then the idea is if you say, well, I don't agree with that, then you must not agree Black Lives Matter. It's all semantic overload game playing. So the Red Sox are engaging in this. Do you actually believe that the Red Sox believe the entire system has to be torn down in Ibram Kendi and how to be an anti-racist fashion? Do you believe that? I don't believe that. This is just woke virtue signaling so that people will say, oh, look at the Red Sox. Look how much they care. It's about the empathy and the feelings. And so at least, I will say this, at least the Yankees and the Nationals didn't kneel for the national anthem, right? They knelt before. So kneeling for systemic racism is stupid because America is not systemically racist. It isn't. America is one of the most tolerant countries on the planet. Black Americans are the richest black people on planet Earth. It is not particularly close. The system of the United States is built around the notion of equal rights. We're not talking about the history of that of the failure of application of that principle. We're talking about right now in 2020. America is not a systemically racist country. The presence of inequality does not mean that all disparity is discrimination. And so I have problems with the basic premise that everybody's supposed to kneel for systemic racism, especially when the case that's being used, even the George Floyd case, that is not evidence of systemic racism. I'm sorry. There's not evidence that Derek Chauvin, who is apparently a very bad cop, was not just being a very bad cop. He was actually being a vicious racist who was targeting black people. And the evidence is not even on that. But even if he were, that would not implicate law enforcement across the country, the 800,000 law enforcement officers across the country. And that would not implicate the generalized system of American rights, duties, and institutions. Okay, but at least the Yankees and Nationals didn't kneel for the national anthem. You can't say the same for Mookie Betts. So Mookie Betts is a terrific, terrific baseball player. He plays for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Mookie Betts is kneeling for the national, he knelt for the national anthem. He just, by the way, signed a contract with the Dodgers worth $365 million. Now, listen, you can be rich and you can still spot flaws in the United States. But if what you're saying is that the system of the United States is deeply broken while you are currently kneeling for the national anthem, getting no blowback and picking up $365 million bucks to boot. Yeah, that's a hard push. That's a hard push right there. And by the way, MLB is doing more than this, right? There's the corporate, I talk about the corporate virtue signaling. We'll get to what MLB is doing corporately in a second. Coming up, it's not merely that there was a protest last night in favor of the idea that America is systemically racist. It's that Major League Baseball is now sponsoring all of this stuff. Like, all of it. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher because they know a lot of awesome stuff. I'll stand in front of the class and make sure everyone knows what I know.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a teacher, my favorite subject will be recess.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So Major League Baseball has decided to go full SJW. According to Sports Illustrated, MLB will debut a Black Lives Matter stencil on mounds across the league. I've been watching baseball all my life. They've never put a political logo on the mound. Okay, and the American flag is not a political logo. I'm sorry. Anybody who suggests that Black Lives Matter, which again is a term that has been issued with semantic overload, right? Does Black Lives Matter just mean that we care about Black lives? Because then it's not political, and it also doesn't need to be said because it's 100% true and pretty much everybody agrees with it, and if you don't, then you are like one in 330 million. Does Black Lives Matter mean America is systemically racist? Because that's highly political. And if Black Lives Matter reflects the organization, it's even more political than that. But I've not seen any political messaging on the mound before. But apparently we are at an unprecedented point in crisis for Black Americans, which is just anti every piece of data ever existent in human history. We are not at a point of existential threat for Black Americans. It is just not true. There is no existential threat to the 42 million Black Americans, the vast majority of whom are middle class or up. Okay, the idea that the police are systemically hunting down Black people is a lie. It is a blatant, overt lie. There are a grand total last year, according to the Washington Post, of 15 Black men shot unarmed by the police. The majority of those cases is where the person was attempting to steal a weapon off a cop or was attempting to use another object in order to harm a cop, like driving a car or something. And by the way, in all the other cases, the cops are under investigation. And so the entire idea that law enforcement is hunting down Black people is just not true. Okay, but apparently it's a point of existential crisis, which is why every major corporation now has to infuse the stuff that was supposed to be distractions from politics in real life, right? We have to infuse all of that with these deeply and apparently universally upheld apolitical messages that happen to be very, very political. Okay, the Sports Illustrated reports MLB will debut a Black Lives Matter stencil on mounds across the league in its opening week, according to the Washington Nationals. The stencil will first appear on Thursday. The Nationals, in conjunction with Major League Baseball, stand with the Black Lives Matter movement and will utilize the platform and national stage of opening day to express support for the fight against systemic racism and injustice. So there it is, right? It's all about America's systemic racism and injustice. And if you don't believe this, well, you're going to watch baseball and you're going to see it anyway, just like you see it when you watch the NBA and it's on the sidelines. MLB will also allow players to sport a social justice message on their jersey for opening day, according to ESPN's Howard Bryan. United for Change and BLM are among the approved phrases to be written on jersey patches, per Bryan. I also look forward to Unborn Lives Matter. I think that one will be real good. I think Free Hong Kong should appear as well. Like really, let's just make this as political as humanly possible. Or alternatively, what's happening with these corporations is they feel like they're going to make a quick buck because capitalism always makes its buck. Now, again, if I sound upset about this, I am. I mean, I am upset about this. You have every right to do it. You're a corporation, you can do it. I don't have to like it. And I can also point out, I think it is bad for the country when every area of American life becomes overtly political and you are forced to take a position on deeply controversial issues. And you're supposed to actually not even take a position. You're supposed to not acknowledge and repeat that America is a systemically racist country in order to watch a damned baseball game. It's an absurdity. It's an absurdity. And by the way, this is, of course, the going message of the NBA as well. They've put Black Lives Matter on the side of the court. So if you watch a basketball game, now you're going to be messaged to by people who suggest that America is systemically racist in a league that is 80% black and where the average salary is millions of dollars. Now, again, none of this is to fail to recognize that problems still exist in the United States. Of course, they still exist. Of course, there are still racists. Of course, bad things happen to people on the basis of race sometimes. But the notion that America is systemically racist and that LeBron James is going to lead the charge. Okay, LeBron James, I'm sorry, he's just not a good spokesperson for this stuff. He isn't. Okay, LeBron James yesterday, he put out a statement about, he said, Black Lives Matter isn't a movement. It's a walk of life. It's a walk of life. And then he went further. He actually said it's not a movement because there has been no movement for black people in America. LeBron James, one of the richest black men on planet Earth, who grew up in apparently pretty impoverished circumstances and has risen to become not only one of the most powerful voices in the country, but also one of the richest voices in the country. Apparently, there's been no black movement, no movement for black Americans, according to LeBron James, which read a book. Here's LeBron James.
A lot of people kind of use this analogy talking about Black Lives Matter as a movement. It's not a movement. When you're black, it's not a movement. It's a lifestyle. we sit here and say it's a movement, and okay, how long is this movement going to last? Don't stop the movement. No, this is a walk of life. When you wake up and you're black, that is what it is. It shouldn't be a movement. It should be a lifestyle. This is who we are, and we understand it. I don't like the word movement, because unfortunately in America and society, there ain't been no damn movement for us. There ain't been no movement.
There hasn't been a movement for black Americans? Really? Weird. Because if there hasn't been a movement for black Americans, I've been reliably informed by the New York Times that slavery was at the root of the American experiment. I've been reliably informed by every historic source in human history that black Americans used to be held as slaves. And then black Americans were kept in abject poverty and segregation for 100 years. And now I have an extraordinarily powerful black man on my TV who earns hundreds of millions of dollars like a year. Right, through advertisement and all sorts of other venues. And by the way, he's done a lot of great charitable work, by the way, LeBron James. And I hear from him there's been no movement for black Americans. None? Zero? Curious. I feel like I'm not being fed a line that is true here. But again, if you refuse to acknowledge that line is truth, if you refuse to suggest that America is a systemically racist country today, if you refuse to acknowledge, then of course you are unwoke. And by the way, if you point out that you think that this very fraught battle, the best place to fight that might not be, you know, on the field itself. Like, if you want to have these conversations off the field, go for it, enjoy. But when I turn into a baseball game, I actually want a baseball game, then you are apparently unwoke and problematic and also very political. It's just as political to say you want to watch sports without politics as it is to say that every single player in the NBA and the MLB and the NFL ought to mirror the sentiment that America is a systemically racist country. This sort of stuff is designed to divide Americans. It is. They're taking away by they, I mean the corporations, I mean the social justice warriors, I mean the sports media, I mean many of the players. They're attempting to divide the country by specifically taking apolitical areas of American life and making them incredibly political. It makes the country worse. There are plenty of ways to have these conversations. We have them every single day in this country. Every single day. Or have you not noticed? But apparently, unless everything becomes political, then the country is worse off. Well, we'll see how that goes. I have a feeling that is not the case. Coming up, it turns out that the Washington Redskins have renamed themselves. Wait until you hear this one. It's pretty incredible. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
I'm celebrating local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6.05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6.05 p.m., right after the news, for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their lives. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Well done, well done. And by the way, in other politics and sports, Anthony Fauci threw out the first pitch at the Washington Nationals New York Yankees opening day game. It didn't go great for him. So let's just put this out there. Anthony Fauci's 80 years old. I wouldn't expect him to fire in a fastball. But there are a few kind of oddities about this. One is he's wearing a Washington Nationals mask in the middle of a completely empty stadium, which you don't actually need to do. And second of all, it's not a good first pitch. I mean, let's just point that out. Is that important? Absolutely not. It's not important. But that doesn't mean we can't make fun of it. I mean, here he is throwing a first pitch. The only first pitch I've seen that really is as weak as this first pitch. Barack Obama threw a real weak first pitch at the All-Star game in, 2011? This is not good here from Anthony Fauci. He gets up there. He really flattens the curve. Here he is throwing up, and there it goes, right down the first base line. And fake crowd noise cheering that on. So Anthony Fauci, by the way, the reason that it is incredible how Anthony Fauci has, it seems like we keep doing this over and over because of Trump, like people buying votive candles of Robert Mueller. If Fauci won't perceive to be at odds with Trump, would there be anybody who's worshiping Fauci at this point? Of course not. You don't see Deborah Birx throwing out the first pitch, do you? I mean, anybody who's actually serving in the administration is not worthy of throwing out the first pitch. Only when Fauci opened a gap between himself and Trump was there this feeling that Fauci was now national hero number one, again, to the point where he's throwing out first pitches. It was, the good news is that Fauci ensured once again that nobody could catch anything. By the way, I'm wondering, like, Fauci's being celebrated as a national hero. Like, I'm glad that he served the country in a lot of ways, right? He helped solve HIV. And he's actually done an enormous number of very good things in his life. But, I mean, the handling of the pandemic, if it's so bad for most Americans, Fauci was in the president's ear for months on end. At some point, you've got to say that it's not going that great. Either it's going great or it ain't going that great. By the way, that was the worst first pitch since 50 Cent threw one out at the Cubs game a few years back. Also, every element of American life should be turned into social justice messaging to the point where everything becomes entirely stupid. There's a singer-songwriter I've never heard of named Conan Gray. Conan Gray apologized yesterday for his use of emojis. He said, "Many of you have brought to my attention my use of tan emojis. I apologize to anybody who was hurt by my use of emojis that you believe are too dark for me to use. I am mixed race. I chose to use the emojis that I felt best represented, my skin tone. Most of you have never met me in real life and are unaware of how I look in person. I am not pale. I am not white. I am mixed race. I was only trying to find an emoji with a skin tone that felt most accurate to me and my background." So this guy's now apologizing for the use of emojis. We've made the country better, gang. Everything is moving in the right direction. I feel excited. Everything has to be political. Emojis, sports. Hollywood has to get even more political. Michael B. Jordan, the major star of Creed, among other movies, he came out, he said that Hollywood has to defund the police. So that's exciting stuff. He said Hollywood has to divest from the police and invest in black talents and careers. And hire independent security firms, apparently. Very easy for Michael B. Jordan, who's being taken care of by studios in terms of his security. So good times from Michael B. Jordan. Again, the country is just getting better. Can't you feel the wokeness healing the country? Can't you feel the wokeness oozing out of the pores of America, covering us all up in a great, wondrous coating of protective joy and just binding the country together? I feel like we're doing so much better now, don't you? Everything's just way better right now. In every way. The Sierra Club, by the way, is apologizing for John Muir, so that's exciting, too. Like, every aspect of SJW nonsense now has to be humored. The executive director of the Sierra Club apologized on Wednesday for the substantial role the group played in perpetuating white supremacy. They condemned John Muir for friendships and views he had. We're canceling John Muir now, so that's exciting stuff. That is because John Muir was friends with eugenicists and was kind of a racist. But I just have a question. Did they found the Sierra Club because he was a racist? Nope. But doesn't matter. Sierra Club's now apologizing for John Muir. I guess we're going to rename the high schools. It says, for all the harms the Sierra Club has caused and continues to cause to black people, indigenous people, and other people of color, I am deeply sorry. Yeah, the cultural revolution continues apace. Okay, in just a second, we're going to get to the situation in America's major cities, because there are real-world things happening right now, and none of them are good. Now, while we're focused on stupid, the real world continues on apace. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, let's talk about the fact that life insurance is a necessity if you are a responsible person. The fact is that if you haven't thought about life insurance, you're doing your family a grave disservice. What happens if you get hit by a truck tomorrow? Well, all your earnings are gone. I mean, your family will be sad, but also your earnings are gone. You should have life insurance as a responsible human, and you should save money when getting life insurance as a responsible human. This is why you need Policy Genius. Policy Genius compares quotes from the top life insurance companies all in one place. It takes just a few minutes to compare quotes from those top insurers and find your best price. You could save $1,500 or more a year using Policy Genius to compare life insurance policies. And this exclusive new policy makes things even easier. Now, qualified applicants can complete their medical requirements over the phone. So if you need life insurance, but you don't know where to start, get started at PolicyGenius.com. In minutes, you'll be able to compare quotes, find the right coverage, and apply. Get the right life insurance coverage and the best shopping experience. What are you waiting for? They also do disability and home insurance. They do auto insurance, all sorts of insurance. They can even help you find bundled deals. Go check them out right now at PolicyGenius.com. It is nice to get life insurance right. It's also really important. Go check out PolicyGenius.com. Save yourself time and money and plan for the future. So there are real-world consequences, as it turns out, to a lot of the BLM messaging. If you believe America is systemically racist, if you believe the police are systemically racist, the first best move is to get the cops out of heavily minority areas. There's only one problem. When this happens, then areas with high crime, which unfortunately are heavily minority across the United States, immediately become more violent. And that is really not great. Last night, a teenager was shot and killed in Minneapolis near 38th and Chicago Avenue, which is basically where George Floyd was murdered. This boy's death is according to Mike Tobin, who is a Fox News international correspondent. The boy's death marks Minneapolis's 38th homicide, more than doubling last year's total of 17. So in order to fight police brutality, they removed all the cops, and twice as many people have been killed in Minneapolis as were last year. Well done, everybody. So apparently the legacy of Black Lives Matter in Minneapolis is the riots that hollowed out a lot of the industrial and commercial centers, a perpetual feeling of crime on the horizon, and an increased murder rate. Seems like life is getting better in Minneapolis as a result of all of this. You can see the progress happening in real time. It's pretty fantastic. Also, progress happening in Seattle. According to Ryan Saavedra over at Daily Wire, the Trump administration is having to send an elite tactical team to Seattle to serve as backup for the law enforcement officials already there after the Democrat-controlled city has failed to stop violent riots in recent days. The New York Times reports the special response team is being deployed similar to the tactical teams currently operating in Portland. Agents from the special response team, operated under U.S. Customs and Border Protection, are typically deployed for intense law enforcement operations similar to the agency's BORTAC group that is operated in Portland. The agents will be backing up the Federal Protective Service, which said in a statement the CBP team will be on standby in the area should they be required. Over the weekend, violent rioters injured at least a dozen Seattle police officers and caused significant damages to numerous businesses and attacked multiple police stations. So things have been going great in Seattle. When the mayor calls off the police, shockingly, crime rises. Who would have thunk such a thing? So things have been going great in Seattle. Things actually went so great in Chicago that the Chicago mayor actually signed an agreement with President Trump to increase the federal footprint in Chicago. So remember when she was saying that it was basically the feds terrorizing Chicago? Well, Lori Lightfoot, at the same time, was negotiating an agreement with the feds to bring in more resources, which is just perfect. Apparently, according to Daily Wire, President Donald Trump reportedly phoned Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot on Wednesday night to hash out details of a surge of 200 federal agents designed to help Chicago officials control a dramatic uptick in gun violence that has taken place in the city since the end of May. The Chicago Sun-Times reports the pair spoke about an agreement to send 200 federal agents, mostly from the FBI, ATF, U.S. Marshals, and DEA, to assist the Chicago PD in handling crime in a number of target neighborhoods racked by recent gang activity. Lightfoot fought federal assistance, but after a gang-related mass shooting outside of a funeral home left 15 mourners wounded Tuesday night, Lightfoot seemed somewhat more open to the idea of receiving federal assistance. Shocker. So now, the Sun-Times says, Trump and Lightfoot are in agreement over the strategy of sending in agents to plug into existing operations. So in other words, it was all for show. Lori Lightfoot is perfectly happy to accept federal agents in her town. Just doesn't want to say that out loud because Trump, which is demonstrative of the fact that everyone right, left, and center knows the only way to stop criminal activity is with law enforcement, but we're going to lie about it to pretend that America is systemically racist. That is the goal. This resulted in Chicago protesters being very angry at the mayor last night. They went out outside of the mayoral offices and protested in large numbers. A lot of white people protesting there. You see how many white people there are in this crowd? A lot of white people. Not all of them wearing masks. You still can't visit grandma in the hospital, but we can have these mass protests in close proximity with a lot of people not wearing masks. A lot of dancing going on. It really is just a giant street party, guys. People shouting in close proximity to one another, which is exactly how COVID gets passed. Things are just going great out there. The country's falling apart, but things are going fantastically. You can see people dancing in the middle there, half of them not wearing masks. Really good stuff. In order to combat this, Lori Lightfoot has now announced that the city of Chicago is going to remove statues of Christopher Columbus. So problem solved, guys. Problem solved. Christopher Columbus, who's been dead for like 550 years, that guy, he's gone. He's down. Problem solved. Chicago is now nonviolent. So they removed the Christopher Columbus statue from the city park just, by the way, a few days after there were near riots there that injured a bunch of police officers. According to The Hill, crews came around 1 a.m. A few dozen people cheered when the statue came down a few hours later, not clear where the statue is going to be taken. Because Western civilization arriving in the Western Hemisphere was apparently a very bad thing. It was apparently really, really bad. The move is a reversal from Lightfoot, who initially opposed taking down the statue on the grounds it would erase the history of the Italian explorer. She's rejected calls to rename Columbus Day holiday. That rejection will last approximately another 7.2 seconds. America, getting better by the hour. The unbelievable hypocrisy of my town is completely out of control. Let me call in the feds. Also, let me cave to the rioters and looters and protesters at every available opportunity is pretty incredible. It's pretty strong stuff. Meanwhile, in Portland, the situation continues to unravel. Continued rioting last night because it was a night ending in Y. Meanwhile, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler, who's being called a fascist by the people he was allowing to riot and loot, went on CNN and said that the problem here is, of course, wait. The problem is the orange guy. Yeah, it's not the rioters and the looters who are taking over blocks of downtown Portland and trying to destroy federal property and engaging in mayhem. The problem is Trump, and he's a meanie, and he's super mean, and he's orange, and he's bad, and he's mean, and also bad and orange. Here's Ted Wheeler with idiot Chris Cuomo.
The president is using these federal forces as his own personal militia, I believe for the purpose of political grandstanding. He's doing this. He's creating the chaos in democratically controlled cities. So ironically, he can point to the chaos and then say, look, those democratically controlled cities are in chaos, and I and only I can stop the chaos. I think this is abhorrent, and it's a clear political stunt.
Guys, he's creating the chaos. Trump is creating it in all the Democratic cities. It's crazy. It's just sort of like until Trump was president, there was no chaos in any of these cities ever. Chicago was just a wonderful utopian landscape until Trump became president. And also Portland, which has not had a Republican mayor in forever, like I think literally ever. Portland it was doing great. And then Trump, you know, these riots, it's all about Trump. It's all about Trump. Ted Wheeler, the world's worst mayor. There's heavy competition for that title right now. Is it Lori Lightfoot? It could also be Keisha Lance Bottoms in Atlanta. Could be Bill de Blasio in New York, who really is a garbage show. It could be Mayor Garcetti here in my hometown of Los Angeles. It could be Jenny Durkin in Seattle. But Wheeler's really up there. I mean, there are a lot of bad mayors. They all have a D next to their names, oddly enough. I can't explain quite why. Yeah, sure, it's Trump's fault. It's Trump's fault. Your city's been burning for 2 months, and it's Trump's fault for sending in people to stop the burning. Pretty incredible stuff here. So everything is going really well, but the important thing is that we have put up banners that say Black Lives Matter everywhere, and we have emboldened people who wish to defund the police, increasing violence. Problems solved. America on the right track. I'm feeling pretty optimistic at this point, aren't you? And if you're not feeling optimistic, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? If you just want to watch a sporting event without being clubbed over the head with a brand of left-wing politics that castigates America as evil, what's wrong with you? Don't you understand? This is how we make America better, is by making it more violent, more polarized, more divided, by suggesting our fellow Americans are all racist, sexist, bigot, homophobes, and that the entire American system, which has built unprecedented wealth, prosperity, tolerance, and freedom, that system needs to be torn down to the shreds. I can feel the progress. Can you? Can you feel the progress? I'm feeling it. I think everybody else is too. Coming up, we'll bring you the latest on COVID. Is the surge really like New York? Not so much. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasi...
We are Women of Vision.
Hi, I'm Haley Clandenning.
And I'm Maurice Brown.
Join us for the Women of Vision show Tuesday nights from 6 to 7.
Women of Vision is a movement, women empowering women, locally and globally. We connect female professionals and entrepreneurs and encourage women to collaborate and achieve their personal and professional goals.
With a spirit of integrity and excellence, we will motivate you to thrive, activating your unique ability. Join us Tuesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR 96.5 FM.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency childcare, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
$36.89 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report. Both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Welcome back to the Ben Shapiro Show. So, we're now hearing that this COVID surge across the country, it's about to overwhelm all the hospital systems. That's not what the data show at this point, but that ain't the message most Americans are hearing. I think that this misinformation, it's pretty stunning that it's coming from Dr. Deborah Birx, who's been pretty accurate about this stuff. So yesterday, Dr. Birx suggested the surge across the country is three New Yorks. No, it isn't. It isn't. Statistically speaking, it is not three New Yorks. If it were three New Yorks, we would be seeing approximately 7,000 deaths a day. Because when we were looking at New York, we were seeing like up to 1,500 deaths a day and 2,900 deaths a day total, 3,000 deaths a day total across the entirety of the United States. It's not three New Yorks. The total death numbers yesterday were about 1,200. Those are the total reported deaths. It's one New York, but it's spread out over the other 310 million people, which is bad. But if we could not exaggerate the case, that'd be really nice. Here's Dr. Deborah Birx.
We already starting to see some plateauing in these critically four states that have really suffered under the last 4 weeks. So Texas, California, Arizona, and Florida, those major metros and throughout their counties. And I just want to make it clear to the American public, what we have right now are essentially three New Yorks with these three major states. And so we're really having to respond as an American people, and that's why you hear us calling for masks and increased social distancing.
Okay, so I'm all in favor of the social distancing and the mask wearing. I have been all along. Okay, but we're not facing three New Yorks. That's not accurate. For all the talk and anecdotal talk about ICUs being overwhelmed in places like Houston, it has not happened. In fact, cases are now receding. Caseload is receding in places like Houston. It's receding in Arizona. So that's just not accurate. Okay, by the way, I am amused and bemused by the media coverage suggesting that, of course, the bad guys here are Ron DeSantis in Florida, Greg Abbott in Texas, and Doug Ducey in Arizona, completely ignoring the fact that your coronavirus leader in the clubhouse right now among states is California, which is now engaged in a second lockdown, which is exciting stuff. Gavin Newsom somehow has escaped all of the blowback that all of the Republicans are getting. I can't believe it. All three of the Republicans I just mentioned have seen their coronavirus handling numbers absolutely tank. Gavin Newsom's still up at 58%. Hey, it's real bad here in California. I live in LA County. That's basically the epicenter of the United States in terms of coronavirus cases. And yet the press are not focused in on LA. I can't imagine why. Could it be because of the Democratic mayor and the Democratic governor and the entirely Democratic state? It's incredible how Ron DeSantis, Greg Abbott, and Doug Ducey are responsible for California, and Trump too. It's all Trump's fault. It's also incredible how Trump somehow convinced everybody in Spain to act so irresponsibly they got a second wave. This is from the UK Sun today. Spain admits coronavirus second wave may be underway, as UK air bridge could be axed and France threatens to close the border. There was 971 new cases yesterday, 241 more than the previous day, a record since the end of the country's state of emergency. You can't just look at the raw numbers, by the way. The United States has many, many more tests than any other country on a raw level. So what you really have to look at is the directionality. The UK Sun revealed the surge could lead to the collapse of an air bridge between the UK and Spain, meaning British tourists could be forced to quarantine upon their return home. And Spain and France are closing their own borders to each other. So that is exciting stuff. Meanwhile, France is experiencing its own second wave. According to the UK Express, France is having a second wave, and Emmanuel Macron is panicked as coronavirus outbreaks hit a dreaded milestone. On Wednesday, France's health ministry said a further 998 new confirmed COVID-19 cases had been recorded over the past 24 hours, heightening concerns about new flare-ups of the epidemic. Fears of a second wave have increased after the Directorate General of Health warned the circulation of the virus is increasing after France recorded 208 currently active coronavirus outbreaks on Tuesday. Also, by the way, Japan experiencing a second wave. According to France24.com, Japan saw a record 366 new cases of coronavirus recorded in the capital on Thursday. France 24 correspondent Michael Penn says the national government seems to be prioritizing economic concerns by opening up the country, but Tokyo's governor is urging people to exercise caution and stay indoors. None of this is to say that any of these countries are wildly mishandling this thing. But when you see the same pattern everywhere, which is just giant spike and then it recedes and then you're seeing the second wave start to begin, you have to start to say nobody has a great handle on this thing. And Paul Krugman has an idiotic column at the New York Times saying, why can't we handle this the way Italy handled it? Italy has a higher death per million rate than the United States. I've seen the same thing said about countries like UK. The one you're never allowed to mention, of course, is Sweden. Sweden has a higher death per million rate than the United States. But right now, they're experiencing virtually no death, like none, even though they have a significant caseload, because it's already run through vulnerable areas of the population. And this is the common theme, is that places like New York, it killed everybody. So is there going to be a second wave as they reopen? We don't know yet. We're starting to see a second bit of an uptick in places like Massachusetts, by the way, right? Which, again, was supposedly one of the states that handled this beautifully. But don't worry, Andrew Cuomo is on the scene to stop everything bad from happening. Andrew Cuomo, the world's greatest governor, when he's not creating weird papier-mâché mountains that symbolize tens of thousands of dead, and when he's not putting out weird posters glorifying himself as the greatest governor in the world that says New York is love and crap like that, Andrew Cuomo is deciding what bars can and cannot serve. So remember, in New York, the bars are supposed to be closed, right? You're not supposed to be in a bar drinking in proximity with other people because this is a chief vector of transmission. The problem is that bars want to stay open in order to serve food. So Andrew Cuomo got mad because what bars were doing is they were basically saying, this is stupid, right? You're dictating to us what kind of food we can serve in order to serve alcohol. So what bars were doing to basically make fun of him, they were issuing what they called Cuomo menus. And the Cuomo menus included things like a bag of grapes. It's like, you have to eat this bag of grapes if you're going to drink alcohol. Cuomo, by the way, acknowledges he cannot force people to eat the food. You just have to order the food in order to get alcohol at the bars. So Cuomo now has his comeback. His comeback is he is going to shut down any establishment that doesn't sell sandwiches. I'm not kidding about this. He says that if you're a bar and you sell buffalo wings, buffalo wings are not sufficient for you to call yourself a food serving establishment. It has to be sandwiches. Also, hot dogs do not constitute sandwiches. Not kidding. We now have an official New York government ruling on hot dogs. According to the New York State Liquor Authority guidance, if you operate a restaurant or bar and you understand that you must serve sandwiches, soups, or other foods when a patron orders an alcoholic beverage, other foods are foods which are similar in quality and substance to sandwiches and soups. For example, salads, wings, or hot dogs would be of that quality and substance. However, a bag of chips, bowl of nuts, or candy alone are not. It is a different food that is similar in quality and substance as a hot dog to a sandwich. So the question has been answered. But Andrew Cuomo says even that is not sufficient. Now he is making a distinction between wings and sandwiches. Here's Andrew Cuomo, great expert, explaining, based on the science, that buffalo wings are different than sandwiches in terms of nutritional content.
To be a bar, you had to have food available. Soups, sandwiches, etc. More than just hors d'oeuvres, chicken wings. You had to have some substantive food. The lowest level of substantive food were sandwiches.
Now, that was the lowest level, but it had to be more. It couldn't just be wings. It couldn't just be wings. what's incredible is that everybody calls Trump a fascist. Last I checked, Trump wasn't issuing giant national regulations about whether you have to serve sandwiches or buffalo wings. I mean, like, seriously, what a horror show Cuomo is. But don't worry, he's been great at this. We know he's been great because he doesn't like Trump. And anybody who doesn't like Trump, anyone who doesn't like Trump, is fantastic. I'm Ben Shapiro. This is The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The House today approved a $259.5 billion four-bill package of spending bills for the 2021 fiscal year.
The package included the bills for state and foreign operations, agriculture, interior, and environment. The legislative package passed in a largely party line 224 to 189 vote. Seven Democrats and the chamber's sole independent joined every Republican in voting against the measure. Lawmakers rejected deep cuts proposed by President Trump to the State Department and Environmental Protection Agency. Next week, the House will take up another package of seven spending bills, including the controversial Homeland Security bill, which deals with immigration and border security. Bernie Bennett in Washington.
A hurricane warning issued for parts of the South Texas coast as Tropical Storm Hanna continues its trek. Forecasters are warning of heavy rain, rough waters, and strong winds. At last check, Hanna had top winds of around 50 miles an hour and was centered about 190 miles east of Corpus Christi and forecast to make landfall tomorrow afternoon or early evening. Tropical Storm Gonzalo also is approaching land, moving closer to the southern Windward Islands, but it's expected to weaken as it moves into the Caribbean Sea. The White House would support sending children back to school, even if future studies showed kids transmit COVID-19 at a higher rate than currently known. Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany has said that arguing that schools are essential places of business and teachers are essential workers.
So on the transmission point, I'd point you again to the CDC, but I would also say that it is our firm belief that our schools are essential places of business, if you will, that our teachers are essential personnel. You all here are considered essential workers, which is why you were coming into the briefing room every day during the pandemic. Our meat packers were meat packing because they were essential workers.
Meanwhile, for more news and the best analysis, you can log on to townhall.com.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's health care costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by July 31st, and you'll save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 844-43-BIBLE. That's 844-43-BIBLE. 844-43-BIBLE.
The coronavirus pandemic has Britain's airports unusually empty at a time when they would normally be full of anticipation.
The first Friday after schools in Britain close for the summer is always one of the busiest for the country's airports, as families escape for the warmer climes of southern Europe, from Portugal's Algarve in the west to the island nation of Cyprus to the east. Not this year, though. The coronavirus pandemic has ended all that. The concourses at London's Gatwick Airport, which is the UK's second busiest, are eerily quiet. Zaria Shackley, London.
Several top healthcare professionals in the Netherlands are warning the government it needs to implement new coronavirus restrictions within 3 days to avoid a second spike. The number of infections has nearly doubled this week, and that's prompted top healthcare professionals to call on the Dutch government to take swift action. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Good news from the Commerce Department. Sales of new homes were up 13.8% in June.
It's the second straight increase after 2 months when sales plunged as the country went into lockdown due to the coronavirus. Sales of new homes in May were up close to 19.5%. The median price of a new home sold last month increased to just over $329,000. That's up about 5.5% from a year ago. Economists believe low interest rates and changes in the kind of homes that people want due to the pandemic most likely will keep sales going this year. Shelley Antler, Washington.
The FAA is telling airlines to inspect and, if necessary, fix engines on popular Boeing 737 jets after four reports of engines shutting down during flights. The order affects about 2,000 twin-engine passenger jets in the United States. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
This is Ted Leidy with the Northern Firearms Instruction Personal Protection Tip of the Day. If you have the ability to park in a garage or carport, do it. Criminals identify dark streets and alleys to target unsuspecting victims who are distracted with loading or unloading packages or children. Another important part of your personal protection plan may be the use of a firearm. If that's the case, give us a call at NFI at 999-1822 or to find and register for one of our popular CCW or other firearm safety courses, visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Room.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
This podcast is for storytellers of all kinds. We discuss everything from the hero's journey to how to slog through that pesky middle section of your book. From filling out your author's toolbox to answering your questions about the craft and the industry. From magic to mayhem.
In July, we're talking about getting your book into your target audience's hands, even if you're on a tight budget. August is Diagnosis Writer, which means we're taking a look at how to identify and solve common problems for many authors.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
With the Wall Street Journal editorial board saying they will have none of it from the woke staffers of the Wall Street Journal. So you thought the Wall Street Journal didn't have woke staffers. Wrong you were. Wrong you were. It turns out the Wall Street Journal has plenty of woke staffers. Apparently some 300 woke staffers sent a letter to the editors of the Wall Street Journal complaining about the op-ed page. You know, the place where people go to give opinions. 300 staffers signed a letter to the publisher pointing out flaws and errors in opinion articles and asking for changes. What were some of those flaws and errors? So, for example, they were angry that there was a piece from Vice President Pence talking about COVID-19, which was quickly and easily fact-checked by people who didn't like the vice president. Also, they did not like an article from Heather McDonald called The Myth of Systemic Police Racism. What exactly did these staffers complain about? They say the article selectively presented facts and drew an erroneous conclusion from the underlying data. So selectively presenting facts means presenting facts. You just don't like the facts that are being presented. That's called an op-ed. Also, how is the conclusion erroneous? How's the conclusion erroneous? Hey, you're just declaring you don't like the conclusion. You're not explaining why the person is factually wrong. Among several problems in the piece, say these woke staffers, one of the peer-reviewed studies cited had its main finding corrected after two letters from peers. The opinion piece makes no mention of this, even though the study's correction had been flagged at the top of the page in the link. The authors of the study have since retracted their study, citing its quote-unquote misuse in the Wall Street Journal among their reasons. Okay, now this is just a plain old lie. Okay, because the actual study that was withdrawn was written by a guy named Joseph Cesario from Michigan State University. He explicitly said, quote, "We retracted the paper because we overstepped with the inferences we made from our data. We did not uphold the high standard of drawing careful and measured conclusions. We did not retract the paper due to improper data or analysis, nor is the retraction evidence that police are racially biased." So, in other words, they didn't retract because they said that the police were racially biased. The article also cherry-picked another study, ignoring the fact that its conclusion, police are indeed more likely to use non-lethal physical force on black people, flatly contradicted the piece's own argument. Well, no. What the Roland Fryer study cited suggested is that low-level uses of police force are disproportionate against black and brown people, but that does not necessarily mean that that can be attributed to racism, which is something that Roland Fryer himself says. Okay, but apparently it's very bad. You're not allowed to print anything that these woke staffers don't like. They're very upset about it. So what are they looking for? Here are their proposed solutions. Since many readers do not understand the division between the WSJ's news and opinion divisions, we propose making this divide clearer. We propose prominently labeling editorials and op-eds as such on both the website and the Wall Street Journal app. Okay, first of all, it's perfectly obvious what is an editorial and what is not. It literally says at the top of the Wall Street Journal, Wall Street Journal opinion. On WSJ.com, we propose removing content from the editorial pages currently mixed in among the recommended videos and most popular articles blocks on the right rail, and instead highlighting that content separately as most popular in opinion. Why? Can't an opinion piece just be popular? Like, that's ridiculous. We also propose that Wall Street Journal journalists should not be reprimanded for writing about errors published in opinion, whether we make those observations in our articles, on social media, or elsewhere. Well, no, journalists don't get to do ridiculous, biased fact checks outside the auspices of their own paper in order to go after op-ed columnists. That's not a thing. We hope our letter will serve as a call to action to these woke staffers. So what they're really attempting to do is control the op-ed page. Right? They're never going to object to anything left-wing printed on the op-ed pages. They basically just want to turn it into the New York Times. Well, the Wall Street Journal op-ed page is now, the editorial board has now issued a response, and good for them. And they say, quote, "We've been gratified this week by the outpouring of support from readers after some 280 of our Wall Street Journal colleagues signed and someone leaked a letter to our publisher criticizing the opinion pages. But the support has often been mixed with concern that perhaps the letter will cause us to change our principles and content. On that point, reassurance is in order. In the spirit of collegiality, we won't respond in kind to the letter signers. Their anxieties aren't our responsibility in any case. The signers report to the news editors or other parts of the business, and news and opinion departments operate with separate staffs and editors. Both report to publisher Almar Latour. This separation allows us to pursue stories and inform readers with independent judgment. It was probably inevitable that the wave of progressive cancel culture would arrive at the journal as it has at nearly every other cultural, business, academic, and journalistic institution. But we are not the New York Times. Most journal reporters attempt to cover the news fairly and down the middle, and our opinion pages offer an alternative to the uniform progressive views that dominate nearly all of today's media. So long as our proprietors allow us the privilege to do so, the opinion pages will continue to publish contributors who speak their minds within the tradition of vigorous, reasoned discourse. And these columns will continue to promote the principles of free people and free markets, which are more important than ever in what is a culture of growing progressive conformity and intolerance." So good for the Wall Street Journal op-ed page. By the way, that's the only reason people subscribe to the journal. I mean, that is the reason. Otherwise, you would just subscribe to the New York Times. It turns out the objective side of the Wall Street Journal is more liberal by studies than the New York Times. People subscribe for the op-ed page and the review section. That is the reason I subscribe to the Wall Street Journal. So I'm glad that the op-ed editors are like, nope, sorry, don't care. Meanwhile, the New York Times continues its mission to legitimize cancel culture, which they love. Charlie Warzel, another one of their brilliant minds, has a piece today called "This Column is Not About Cancel Culture." He suggests that we have to stop thinking about cancel culture. He says, take some of the national media's preoccupation with examining our cascading national crises through the narrow lens of free speech and cancel culture. One camp argues that the boundaries of acceptable conversation are shrinking, creating a chilling effect on speech that is illiberal. This crowd wrote an open letter alluding to it in Harper's that set the internet ablaze for weeks. This debate is also about power in an era dominated by the internet, which also means it's ultimately about attention. The camp that is worried about illiberalism seems to understand this better than the camp arguing that the cancel culture critics are elite public intellectual grifters. This crowd knows that this line of argument is irresistible to the navel-gazing circles of media and politics. So here's Charlie Warzel, opinion writer at the New York Times, suggesting that if you are worried about people being canceled and opinions being barred, it's because you're a grifter, as opposed to Charlie Warzel being paid to say that if the New York Times bars you, you're a grifter. According to Charlie Warzel, some, but not all, of free speech defenders are extremely effective attention hijackers. A cynic might argue they saw an important national conversation where attention was focused on protest, racial justice, and the concerns of frequently marginalized voices, and found a way to reframe that debate to once again be at its center. Ah, it's bad motive. Okay, the cheapest thing you can do in these arenas is to accuse your opponent of bad motive. It makes you a kind of a bad person. That's what Charlie Warzel is doing. So if you're concerned about free speech and cancel culture and the closing of the Overton window, and the fact that 62% of Americans say they are afraid to express their opinions for fear of blowback, if you express that that's not good for the country, apparently that is because you're a grifter or insincere. You're insufficiently woke. So what does Charlie Warzel propose? This is the part that's funny. He says in the New York Times, "Lately I've been dwelling on a counterfactual. What if ideological opponents of the free speech defenders followed a roadmap laid out a year ago by the U.S. Women's Team? What if instead of engaging on their terms, they dismissed the argument and ignored it altogether? The American public seems unable to break or divert our attention, even when we know it may be harmful to those who seek it. So what if we just ignore all the people whining about cancel culture, basically? What if instead of amplifying arguments we think are unworthy, we just ignore them? If we want to talk about fired newspaper editors, how about focusing on this stat? In the first 6 months of 2020, more than 11,000 newsroom jobs have been lost, according to Axios. Okay, by the way, you want to ignore all the people talking about cancel culture? Please do. Seriously, please do. Because that's not what you guys are doing. Cancel culture is where you try to get them to lose their jobs. I would be happy if the folks who try to deplatform me would ignore me. That'd be my favorite thing in the entire world. Please ignore me. Seriously. Instead, they attempt to go after our advertisers. They attempt to castigate people who subscribe. They try to go after social media platforms for allowing us to share our content. Please ignore us, please. The whole point is that they won't ignore us because they are attempting to cancel you. So Charlie Warzel, of course, suggesting that cancel culture doesn't really exist. Also, we should probably try to keep canceling people. Good times. Now, here's the reality. We live in an increasingly intolerant country where a disagreement on basic political opinion is considered verboten. And you can see it in every area of American life, every area. There's a player for the San Francisco Giants currently being ripped up and down by Sports Illustrated for the great sin of not kneeling during a systemic racism protest before a baseball game. He said, "I'm a Christian. I don't kneel to anybody before God." And they said, "Oh, it's because you're a racist." That is the culture we now occupy. It's really frightening. It's really scary. And you should be concerned about it. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be talking with Ami Horowitz, who has been exploring the wilds of Portland. First, let us talk about upping your energy level and lowering your blood pressure. Let's talk about Super Beets. Super Beets soft chews that combine non-GMO beets with a powerful new ingredient, grapeseed extract. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beets chews has been clinically shown to be 2 times as effective at supporting normal blood pressure as a healthy lifestyle alone. Better blood pressure means more energy, the way nature intended, without that jittery caffeine or the stimulants. Now you can take just 2 delicious chews a day, anytime, anywhere, get the blood pressure support you need and the energy you want. Do what I did. Support your heart health today with delicious Super Beets chews. Get your Super Beets chews today at GetSuperBeets.com/Ben. When you buy 2 bags, they will throw in the 3rd for free. That's GetSuperBeets.com/Ben. Make your blood pressure better easily without the caffeine or the stimulants. Make sure that you have more energy. Go check them out right now. Delicious Super Beets chews. GetSuperBeets.com/Ben to get that special 3-for-the-price-of-2 deal. Buy 2 bags, they'll throw in the 3rd for free. GetSuperBeets.com/Ben. We've made it basically mandatory for our staff. Because if they start to waver in their energy level, everything goes to hell in a handbasket. Super Beets will save you. Get superbeets.com/Ben. Already coming up, we'll be joined by the intrepid Ami Horowitz, who's been exploring the insanity in Portland on a personal level. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. Call 800-715-9880. That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
When I grow up, I want to be a teacher because they know a lot of awesome stuff. I'll stand in front of the class and make sure everyone knows what I know.
If your child is sick over and over again, it could be PI, a serious defect of the immune system. Early testing gives children a chance to dream.
And when I'm a teacher, my favorite subject will be recess.
Jeffrey Modell Foundation, helping children reach for their dreams. Visit info4pi.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So you've been told by the media everything is great in Portland. Everything is just fine. It's like a two-block area. It's not really that big a deal. Mayor Ted Wheeler says the big problem is President Trump deploying some federal forces to protect federal property. Well, we have a report from on the ground. Intrepid documentarian Ami Horowitz, whose wife just must be livid that this is what he does for a living, joins us on the line right now. Ami, of course, directed and starred in You and Me, a theatrical feature film, and he's been covered by nearly every major publication in the world. Ami, good to talk to you. You're still alive.
Big Ben, always a pleasure. I am still alive. It takes a lot more than some shards of glass thrown at me to take me down, brother.
So you are in Portland, and apparently it is another one of these wonderful, beautiful, utopian situations that we've heard so much about. We heard that about Seattle's Chopped Chaz. We've heard that everything's great in Chicago. And we heard that Portland is basically just a wonderland of tolerance and diversity and nonviolence. It's mostly peaceful, which is my favorite phrase. As I've said, mostly peaceful is wonderful because O.J. Simpson was mostly peaceful the night he murdered Nicole. But in any case, how were things in Portland? Give us the update.
Yeah, nothing like that, Ben. I mean, the media malpractice in the description of all of these groups of people around the country, but in particular Portland, I got to tell you, and Portland was among the worst of the bunch. Right. And you know that I was in Minneapolis, I was in New York, I was in L.A. Here's the story. So you've got like 5,000 people in this square, in this park that abuts the federal courthouse. And yeah, 5,000 people. And like you said, they're there, you know, for like 10 hours a night. So they're not all committing violence at 10 hours straight. But here's what you have. You have hundreds of these people, not dozens, not 30, not 50. Hundreds of these people who are physically attacking the courthouse, I mean, with hammers and pipes, setting it on fire to burn alive the people inside this building. And then you have the thousands of people who are not directly participating, exhorting them. They have zeal. They're cheering them on. They are giving these guys air, no pun intended, and supporting what they're doing. So in my book, they are as culpable as the people actually involved in the violence. That's actually what's happening on the ground.
So let's talk a little bit about the media coverage of this. I'm sure you saw media members there. They're aware of all of this, correct? They're not just like far away at a Starbucks and then blogging about it. They're in the midst of all this, and yet the media coverage has been, these are mostly peaceful protests. It's just the federal forces. Number one, what are the media actually doing on the ground here? And number two, what are federal forces doing? Because we've heard all of these rumors that the feds are basically going around in unmarked vans, pulling innocents off the streets and bringing them to Gitmo.
All right. So I was there for two nights from beginning to end on both nights. And I witnessed the entire kind of cycle of how this thing worked. First of all, on the media's complicit. OK, the media's trying to paint this because it goes against their narrative and their agenda, which is anti-Trump, right? Because Trump is one who sent the forces there, and they're obviously anti-Trump. They're trying to paint this thing in a different way. And they're also painting it in the way they want to paint it because they support the ideals of these protesters and these rioters. They're on the same page with these guys, and they are giving these guys support. In terms of what the federal troops or the federal officers are actually doing, let me kind of tell you how it goes down. They're not out in force. They're in the building. They're just sitting in the building protecting it. They're not even outside protecting it because that's more provocative. They are inside, and when the attacks happen, and the surge of these hundreds of rioters and arsonists begin to attack the building, only after it gets to the point where they're actually going to break in do the federal troops then come out. They spray pepper spray and gas, which, by the way, is a humane way of dealing with these people. Okay, I was there. I got gas. It is very, very unpleasant. It's actually worse than I ever experienced. But it is totally legitimate as a mode of crowd dispersal. Only then are they doing that, and they're coming out. They're not cracking heads. They are just putting a physical ring around the building, protecting it from the rioters. And when things calm down, they go back inside. That's kind of what I saw happen. And the media members are all there. They're watching this dance happen, yet they're reporting in such a bizarre, slanted way.
So we're actually watching on a giant screen, if you can't see it because we're on radio. This is all video that Ami took of the location. So Ami, you were mildly injured in the course of filming all of this. How did that happen?
So I was interviewing these people, obviously, to get a sense of what they believe. I want to talk a little about what they believe first. So these guys are all disintegrationists, okay? That's a shout-out to you, my friend. This is what they believe in. They believe, and I was asking him, is chaos a tool that you're using to in order to push an agenda? And they were open about the fact that they said, yes, chaos is a tool that we're using. I asked them, is it time to end the American experiment? And again, almost unanimously, they agree that it's time to end the American experiment. These people do not want to see the United States in its present form survive. So what happened was, at a certain point, I got recognized. And when the soldiers come out and kind of protect the building, what they would often do is they're throwing projectiles at them, incendiary devices sometimes, and a lot of times throwing bottles at them. And the bottles would crack and crash on the ground, and people were just picking up kind of the handfuls of his glass and throwing at me. And I got scratched up. It wasn't that bad. But these people, again, I also asked them, is violence a necessary tool? And they all agree violence is necessary. So if they're able to use some violence against me, that's kind of the way it went down.
So, Ami, we've talked about federal forces protecting the federal police, the federal property. And obviously they have mandate to police outside the exact federal property. What have the cops been doing? Because this has been going on for 56 straight nights at this point, and Mayor Ted Wheeler has basically prevented them from doing anything.
Did you see the cops? Yeah, there are no cops. I didn't see a single Portland PD anywhere in the vicinity or in the area both nights. They're not there at all. Not a single police officer is present. Not before, after. They're not there. Ted Wheeler has totally acquiesced to the rioters and the arsonists and the looters and let them run wild. And by the way, all these people out there, the protesters, they hate Ted Wheeler. You saw what happened to him when he spoke. It's the beauty of the left eating its own, right? That's exactly what you've seen with Jenny Durkin. You see it with de Blasio. You see it everywhere across the country where the left is eating its own. They can't be woke enough or left enough for these people. But Ted Wheeler, no, he has left these people to their own devices. And that's why the federal troops are there.
So what do you make of the sort of message from Ted Wheeler? He's been saying that the federal troops are instigating all of this. This President Trump's fault for allowing federal troops to – they're really not troops, federal law enforcement to go in there and actually enforce the law. What do you make, number one, of Wheeler's response to all of this in terms of the feds? And number two, do you think this dies down at any point in the near future without a massive federal surge?
Look, it's ludicrous in terms of, again, if you're just there on the ground and you, as an observer, watching how the federal officers are interacting with the police, it's nothing like that. Like I said, they're not even outside. You can't even see them until they're actually on the cusp of breaking into the building, and that's when they come out to push people back and stop it. Okay, so you don't even see any of them. Not plain clothes. Not in. In military fatigues, you don't see any of these guys until the violence actually starts to kick up. So that's not, it's a load of baloney. When it ends, man, look, I don't know. Who knows what will supplant it? I mean, look, there was a time we thought Me Too would be around forever. I'm sure people even forgot what Me Too is. So it's tough to say how long it's going to last. My guess is it lasts longer than the Me Too movement. But then again, we have coronavirus out there. And by the way, again, 5,000 people. It's not exactly socially distant. Everybody's on top of each other. Everybody's yelling on top of each other. But, of course, that's allowed because it fits their agenda. So, you know, you got that there. So who knows? Who you can't tell.
Well, Ami Horowitz, documentarian, who, as I say, I mean, good luck to your wife. I mean, I know your family, but that you have a rough job, my friend. It seems like it's getting worse day by day. How's your wife responding to the fact that you go and report on these situations that seemingly crop up every single week now? How are you protecting your personal safety?
So she's less than thrilled, to be totally frank. But look, you know, I don't, like you said, you don't reveal kind of what you do with personal safety. I don't like to do it either, but I try. And at times I have people who are watching my back. At times I don't, but it all depends on the situation. This time I did. Thank God.
Well, Ami Horowitz, documentary, really appreciate your time, and thanks for the reporting from on the ground.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Ben.
All righty, coming up, we're going to get to your phone calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
Working from home? Conference calls?
You're still on mute, John.
With everything we have going on right now, it's never been more important to get the sleep we need. Quality sleep is a natural immune booster, and only the Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts your comfort and support on both sides. Your Sleep Number setting. So, all those other things we're doing to stay healthy and happy, well, they'll work better too. Save up to $900 on select Sleep Number 360 smart beds, plus special financing and free premium delivery when you add a base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Special financing subject to credit approval. Minimum monthly payments required. See store for details.
Meet animals like Sweet Pea the Skunk and Spike the Porcupine at Turtle Bay Exploration Park's animal programs every weekend at 2 p.m. Stop by on Friday for an animal spotlight.
Visit on Saturdays for the indoor animal show where animals fly, crawl, or walk on by. Or visit on Sundays and get led through the park, weather permitting, in Turtle Bay's Animal Parade.
Fun for all ages every weekend at 2 p.m. Animal programs are free for members and included with admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hi, I'm Ariel Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days' worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
3689.
When I was in Iraq, our convoy was hit. It was bad. After I came home, I could still hear booms and see tracer fire. Makes it hard to be a good mom.
As America's veterans face challenges, DAV is there.
I'm Naomi Mathis, Air Force veteran.
With the right support, more veterans can reach victories, great and small.
With help from DAV, I was able to begin to heal.
DAV provides a lifetime of support to veterans of every generation, helping more than 1 million veterans each year.
Today, I'm part of DAV. We're veterans helping veterans to get the benefits they've earned. And I give my veterans my all.
But there's more to be done and more victories to be won.
My victory is being able to be here for my children.
Naomi Mathis, thank you for your service. May your victories inspire many more. Support more victories for veterans. Go to DAV.org.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That's 855-236-3228. Ethan, Southern California, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Ethan.
Hey, how's it going? So I have a few friends that I've grown up with, and they're on the left. And my question is, when having conversations and I use statistics that I hear from your show, they just say, that's not true. You know, where'd you find that? Where'd you hear that? If they're willing to have a conversation with me, mm-hmm. where's the best place to get statistics on the spot, and where do you get your statistics?
So I generally get my statistics, frankly, from like mainstream media publications, from peer-reviewed studies, from the government itself. There's all sorts of sources where I get my statistics. Usually on the show, when I cite a statistic, I explain where it came from. So whenever I talk about the number of unarmed black men shot in America every year, I cite the Washington Post. There's a full-on Washington Post database, and you can go and you can check it. If you're talking about studies on disproportionate police shootings, for example, Roland Fryer has done good work on this. He's one of several studies on this particular issue. If you're talking about income inequality, there are a wide variety of sources ranging from Abigail and Stephen Thernstrom at the Brookings Institute to members of the Heritage Foundation to Coleman Hughes, who have done investigations into wealth and income inequality. I try to cite sources because I know that people want the sources. But, you know, if you ever are in search of a particular source I'm citing, feel free to email me. My email address for everyone is bshapiro@dailywire.com, and I'm more than happy to give you the sources on what I discuss. I try not to speak out of my tuchus, so to speak, and when I cite a stat, I typically use a source that is fairly well accepted.
Cool. So if you're having a conversation, it's probably best to come prepared with some good sources and statistics on conversations you think you might be having with that person.
Yeah, generally that's right. I mean, I will say that I think it's very often done in bad faith when people are like, so what's your source on that? And you've like, if it's a friend, typically if you say like, it's a source, I know it's real, I just can't remember it right now. For the sake of the conversation, they should assume that you're not lying. But I understand, like I do this all the time in conversations. I've been doing it since college where I'll cite a stat and somebody will say, what is that from? And I try to, you know, keep in my head where all the stats are from. If not, then thank God you have a cell phone. You can pull it up. And generally that stuff is pretty easily available.
Awesome. Well, hey, I really appreciate that, and I enjoy watching your show. I watch pretty much 80% of your shows.
Well, that's pretty good. I appreciate it. Let's get that up to 100%, Ethan. Really appreciate the call. Fred in Detroit, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Fred.
Oh, yeah. First off, big fan. A little nervous. Thank you. I was wondering, I saw on dailywire.com you had a couple references or links talking about UFOs. I had seen one in – I know we're short on time. I could tell you about it if you'd like, but I was wondering what your take was. I mean, do you think they're vehicles that were made by the Chinese or Russians, or do you think there's some, I don't know, life out there?
Well, I mean, all UFOs are, right? I mean, they literally stand for unidentified flying objects. So I have no idea. I mean, it could theoretically be some sort of machinery that we are not tracking. It could be drones. It could be, you know, private aircraft. It could be a bunch of different things. I really don't have a clue. As far as the idea that it's aliens,
okay.
You know, I am very skeptical of the idea that alien life forms have reached Earth. It feels to me like if they had and they had the technology to reach Earth from presumably light years away, then they would also have made themselves quite known because of their superior technological abilities. It would take quite a while to get from any place that is inhabited to Earth. So I find it really hard to believe that aliens are sort of flying around but doing nothing, like just apparently doing nothing all day long across the world. So – I'm happy to hear your UFO story, though, as long as it doesn't involve any sort of anal probe. So go for it, Fred. What happened to you?
Yeah. Thankfully, no. But, yeah, it was 1998, southeast Michigan. There's a city called Groseal. And there's the Detroit River that runs right by on the east side. And there's the river runs between Groseal and Canada. So anyway, 1998, I had a girlfriend. She paged me. And we're going to meet on this little rocky beach at 10 o'clock at night, like play slap and tickle or whatever, you know. So, like, I show up at 9:30. I'm there early. I get out. I sit on the hood of my car. I'm looking at the stars. And one star, I thought it was a star. It was just freakishly bright. And I don't know how many from left to right peripheral vision. But this thing, I mean, I can't even describe how fast it was. From the left or against an instant. The only reason why I could see it was because it was a bright, just a bright orb. And it left like a just some kind of trail. Anyway, it does a perfect 90-degree turn without hooking or slowing. Oh, but it was coming to frequent instant stops. I mean, it moving at full speed, instant stops. It danced around like that for a few more seconds, stopped in front of me. And it's still probably something I can kind of make all white. I can make your typical kind of metallic dome shape underneath. And it started this. And as it's getting higher and higher, it's getting faster and faster. And finally, it just, in a series of strange flashes of light, it just vanished. And it was almost like a movie. I could see like a strange kind of distortion around it and didn't make a sound. And ever since then, it just bothered me. I've been a major Christian my whole life. So I've been trying to, make sense with it biblically.
Pretty sure it wasn't Jesus, but I wish I had an answer for you on that one. But I have sort of George Nouri late night radio. thanks for the story, Fred. And hang in there. Make us with them. I mean, frankly, it seems like for the country at this point. Michael in Indiana, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Michael.
Hey, love listening to your show. Over the next few months, there could be a major shift in what I know is something country that I love to grow up in. I'm currently raising a family, and I've really started to kick off my career. A lot of my family, and I believe many others, feel like they're being forced to stay silent during this increasing movement that we're seeing in some of the larger cities across the U.S. in fear of losing our jobs or career. This pops up on social media quite frequently, examples of this. How do you suggest we start showing against this growing movement us are seeing in the larger cities across the United States?
It starts with people in power saying no. So if you're a power and have to be canceled, then refusing to be canceled is one thing. If somebody comes to you and they say for X, Y, or Z, you should just say no. Like Tucker Carlson, I disagree with him on a lot of stuff. Here, he is exactly right. People come for his head pretty routinely, and he'll just say no. Not happening. It's very important that people at the top of heap be able to say no, because cancel culture really is about everybody else. It's saying to Tucker or me, we're going to come after your advertisers, and if you refuse to acquiesce in this, if you don't cave to us in our opinions, we're going to go after then we're going to go after you and ruin you. And if you cave to us, then we're just going to go after people low up more to lose. So it's really important top line defend against this. If you are low on the food company, it's very difficult because you really are taking your own career into your hands by saying things that are true. And this is why if cancel culture continues this way, what you're going to end up with companies that are for the woke and then a series of companies for everybody else. Because basically the woke culture is trying to make at least employable just by dint of the viewpoint they hold about. And it's really dangerous. I mean, I talked about this a little bit earlier on the show, is what Major League Sports is attempting to do right now, what professional sports is attempting to do by cramming down a particular message, is the idea that if you refuse to accept the message that America is systemically racist, you are yourself a racist and bad, and you can be canceled just on the basis of not agreeing that America is a horrible place. That's really dangerous stuff. Corporate America is doing this more and more. The only way to fight back against that eventually might be for people to stop patronizing these businesses, which I would not prefer, or for people to start alternative businesses, or for these corporations to learn that they really should not be involved in these sorts of issues because it has nothing to do with the business that they are in, Michael.
Okay.
I mean, I wish I had an answer better than that. I wish I had an answer that says, stand up and say what you believe, and there won't be consequences, but that obviously isn't true. I mean, I think there are people like me out there who will stand up and fight with you, that if you get fired for saying something true, that I'll find a way to support you. But I think that the basic notion that we can do that for, tens of millions of people who feel under threat, it's very difficult. Now, should there be flashpoints? Absolutely. Do you want to be one of those flashpoints? That is your choice, right? Now, I'm not going to recommend to anybody they put their career at risk because I'm not the one who has to put food on their kids' table, right? I think that if you want to stand up and fight and then you want people like me to resonate to what you're saying, then I'm happy to do it. And I think it's really important that people, again, in positions of power with loudspeaker do that. And we try to do that a lot over at Daily Wire. But I can't recommend that everybody take on that risk because that's a personal decision that everybody has to make individually.
Okay.
Well, Michael, appreciate the call. Hang in there, dude. Chris, in the Bay Area, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. How's it going, Chris?
Hi, Ben. How's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty well. How's it going from the lands of needles and open poop?
Well, I'm glad I haven't stepped in it yet. That's very, very heartening for me. I actually have a reading question for you. I know you read a lot of books, some of them at the same time. I'm trying to do that myself, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering if you have any tips on how to get started in doing that.
So the best way that I've found to read is I have to kind of switch off because if my attention span starts to wane, then I tend to read more slowly, and I will lose energy in one book, and then I'll switch to the other book. Very often happens. So I usually have one fun book and one serious book that I'm reading at the same time. So I'll read some fiction, and at the same time I'm reading fiction, I'm reading a biography of Stalin or something. And that's a nice way of sort of giving my brain a break while still bringing in a lot of information. It doesn't have to be, you know, fiction. It can also be a sports book, or it can be something that you find a little bit lighter or more fun. That's how I take in information. As far as how to read faster, typically speaking, there are certain structures to nonfiction books in particular that you get to know. Introductions are important. Conclusions are important. First three paragraphs of a chapter are important. Last three chapters of a paragraph are important. Very often, you'll find, I won't say this about my own books because I think my books are kind of philosophy and content heavy, but there are a lot of books where they just sort of repeat the same point over and over and over, and then they just footnote it a lot. And unless you intend on memorizing some of those data points, which very often is useful, what you really want to know is where in the book that information is. You don't want to necessarily read through all that information right now. So the way I tend to treat some nonfiction books is as sort of reference manuals. So I know where in the book, for example, this person is going to talk about criminal statistics, and I footnote it. You know, the way I like to read nonfiction books is I don't like writing in books because, I don't know, I have this bizarre, almost religious objection to defacing books, even though it really isn't doing it. I own it. And so what I found is really good is you buy those colored tabs, the sticky tabs, and I use that to highlight sections of the book because those are always removable later if anybody else wants to read the book and it doesn't obstruct their ability to read the book. So my books are covered in tabs. My copy of De Tocqueville's Democracy in America, I went through like three packages of tabs. But I think that's a good way to kind of footnote it and come back to it, which is really the best part of reading is now you know where everything is. And that's the most important. When it comes to nonfiction, that's the most important.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
You bet. Thanks, Chris. All right, we're going to take more of your calls in just a second. 855-236-3228. First, let's talk about the fact that some issues are difficult to talk about. Like, for example, erectile dysfunction. Who wants to talk about that? Nobody. But if you're suffering with a medical issue, there is no reason not to get it fixed. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, discreet. Getting started is really easy. Just go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro, complete an online visit. ED used to be tough to tackle. Now there is Roman. Complete that online visit today. Connect with the doctor. Get it taken care of. Go to GetRoman.com/Shapiro today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/Shapiro. 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 Go check them out right now. A lot of medical issues are kind of embarrassing to talk about. That is not a reason not to get it solved and improve your life, especially when you can do it quickly and discreetly and easily and save money while doing it. GetRoman.com/Shapiro to get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/Shapiro. Alrighty, coming up, more of your phone calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean kimchi barbecue, spicy dill, pasilla chili cheese, and blackberry habanero pork rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're taking your calls at 855-236-3228. That is 855-236-3228. Alex in North Carolina, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Alex.
Hey, Ben, how are you doing?
Hey, doing okay. Sounds like you got some kids guard in the background, dude.
Yeah, I do. I'm stepping out. I got a quick question. So just real quick, I'm an immigrant from Eastern Europe and a very patriotic American, so is the rest of my family. With that said, what's going on and the pressure that is being applied to Hong Kong by China, I'm wondering whether or not it would be a good strategy for Donald Trump to provide path of citizenship to people from Hong Kong, because I feel like what it would do is, one, provide people with understanding that Donald Trump is pro-legal immigration, one. Two, it would provide freedom-loving voters to the United States of America for generations to come. And I feel like it would throw a giant middle finger to China, which I think would be all three of them beneficial in getting Trump reelected. What are your thoughts on
it? So I totally agree with this. I mean, even putting aside the reelection campaign, the idea of giving people citizenship who are in Hong Kong, who are waving American flags because they understand freedom and the risks of communism, that is a very, very good idea. And you know, I think that we ought to be giving people like this a chance at freedom. The fact that they are being run roughshod over by the Chinese government, there are a lot of great reasons to offer those people a safe haven in the United States, and I think that that makes a hell of a lot of sense. Alex, appreciate the call, and good luck with those kids. I mean, I have been in that situation 1 million times at this point. Pandemic means that I have lots of conversations where my kids just scream in the background. That's basically what it means to me on a personal level. Katie in Chicago, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Katie.
Hi, Ben. I had a question regarding how to talk in a constructive way to the left on social media. So as an example, I posted something in support of federal officers coming in to finally deal with the violence and destruction in Portland. And the responses I got back were that this is mostly peaceful, this is Trump's Gestapo, and I should be posting about police brutality, and I need to check my privilege. So, you know, I say I'm for peaceful protesting, but, you know, look at these videos of violence, and I'm then told they're just propaganda. So I was just wondering, like, if facts don't sway people, what do you say?
I mean, honestly, at a certain point, it's not worth engaging in the conversation. And this is just a hard decision to make. But very often, people are just there to browbeat you. And there really is no point to that. I mean, you do this in your daily life all the time, where you're talking with somebody about a completely non-political topic, and the conversation just goes sideways. At a certain point, you're like, okay, I guess we're done here. And you got to do that online, too. You got to do that with political conversations. Not all conversations are worth having. And the moment that someone calls you a racist, when you are not a racist, the conversation should be over, because that is a nefarious and ugly tactic. Katie, appreciate the call. Andres in Erie, Pennsylvania, on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Andres.
Hey, Ben. It's a pleasure being here. So I'm going to ask you a real question. So I want to know why the administration and President Donald Trump and Mike Pence have openly supported the president of Honduras when he has multiple accusations with El Chapo Guzman and related to drug lords. And he's currently killing my country and, in other words, destroying it. And the Trump administration is it's confusing me because I support the true core of American values of freedom of speech. There's no freedom of speech back home anymore. He claims to be a capitalist. The only thing he does is raise taxes. Do you have any information about this?
So I don't. And now that you've said it, I'm going to do a bunch of research on Honduras. Right? This is one of those areas where I will admit that I have not checked in on Honduras since the attempted quote-unquote coup a few years back, which the Obama administration...
Correct. That was in 2009. It was a successful coup. It was a coup that destroyed the socialism movement, and I'm great that happened. But right now, we are in a terrible situation, Ben. If you could help anything, contact Mike Pence or President Trump. He's a drug lord. His brother's convicted with a chop of his mom in the same prison. He is a drug lord, too, and the United States know it. He has a court hearing in the South District of New York City, and I'm just confused what's going on. Why isn't he already taken out? Why is he still in power? If you could do anything, or
as you say, I will do some research, because I'm really out of the loop on this one. But Andres, I really appreciate your call, and thank you for raising my awareness. Let me check it out, and I will get back to you. Really appreciate it. Nico in Hartford, Connecticut, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Nico.
Hey, Ben. The whole McCloskey case, and you know, about the Castle Doctrine, and you know, I was thinking about it. Do you think that the Castle Doctrine is the Second Amendment, like under the to keep and bear under the Second Amendment? That way, we can take, you know, McCloskey's are lucky that they apparently have a very good Castle Doctrine, but if we could take it out of the hands of states to decide, well, you can defend yourself or not, depending on how the state feels, we just put it, you know, as a Second Amendment right. So do you think that it's possible, and then do you think it should be that way?
So I think the idea that you have a right to self-defense that is implicit in the federal Constitution, that if the federal government deprives you of your right to self-defense, yeah, I mean, I think that it should be read that way, frankly. I mean, it would have been anathema to the founders, the idea that somebody's allowed to invade your property and you can't shoot them. Right? I mean, that would be crazy to the founders, particularly if you're talking about somebody who's coming to do your harm. Right? There's sort of some vagaries in state law with regard to if somebody is coming on your property to rob you, or if somebody is just trespassing on your property. But if somebody is coming and it's pretty obvious they have intent to do you harm, they're threatening you, they're shouting at you, and you walk out with a gun and you say, like, you walk here, I'm going to shoot you. That is the right to self-defense that pre-exists government in the first place. And to read that out of the federal Constitution, I think would probably be a mistake. Nico, really appreciate the call. Justin in Houston, Texas, you're on the Ben Shapiro Show. Go for it, Justin.
Yes, sir. Hey, Ben.
Oh, there we go. Hey, Justin.
Sorry about that. Hi, Ben. We're a Jewish family in Houston, and we've recently been hit with some financial issues, and we got a call from our synagogue today and let us know that, you know, if we weren't able to quote-unquote financially contribute anymore, that we would not be able to be members anymore. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to get your philosophical thoughts on requiring dues or financial contributions. I mean, I understand having to keep the bills paid, but your philosophical thoughts on, you know, what it means to have to pay in order to attend synagogue.
Right. So on a Jewish law level, there's some controversy over this. So Maimonides suggests that rabbis are really not supposed to make money off of being rabbis. They're supposed to make money off of teaching, that there's actual controversy over whether you're allowed to make money being a community rabbi, for example. But beyond that, there are definitely shuls. I know Chabad is very famous for not forcing anybody to pay membership in order to attend. Instead, they just survive off of donations from other people. Listen, as you say, I understand that there they're synagogues with fixed costs, and as they expend a lot of money in order to ensure that they can cover those costs, they have to make sure that people pay. Usually, synagogues will allow you to come occasionally. They just don't want you to have the same privileges as sort of the regulars who actually pay the membership. And I get that, but all I can say is that if you can't afford the dues, you should contact the synagogue directly and see if they can offer you some sort of mitigation, because most synagogues will. It's pretty rare that a synagogue says that they won't offer you any sort of charitable mitigation in a time of economic downturn in order to allow you to continue to attend synagogue. Really appreciate the call, Justin. All righty, coming up, we're going to get into Major League Sports. Remember that time sports were a distraction from real life? No more. American life has to suck through and through. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump says he's signing four executive orders aimed at lowering the costs of prescription drugs, one of which has been a sore spot with many Americans.
We will finally allow the safe and legal importation of prescription drugs from Canada and other countries where the price for the identical drug is incredibly lower. It's a difference like you wouldn't believe.
Mr. Trump said discounts by drug manufacturers are not being passed on to consumers. He added Congress has failed to take action to reduce drug prices except for a small handful of people. A $259.5 billion four-bill package of spending bills for the 2021 fiscal year passed by the House on Friday. The package included the bills for state and foreign operations, agriculture, interior, and environment. Next week, the House will take up another package of some seven spending bills, including the controversial Homeland Security bill, which deals with immigration and border security. A new survey finds nearly half of Americans that have been laid off due to the pandemic believe that those jobs are just lost forever.
Back in April, 78% of households with a coronavirus-related job loss thought it would be temporary. But now that optimism is fading. According to the latest poll from the APNORC Center for Public Affairs Research, 47% think that the lost job is definitely or probably not coming back. That translates into roughly 10 million workers who will need to find a new employer, if not a new occupation. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Washington, D.C. is mandating anyone arriving after non-essential travel to a coronavirus hotspot must self-quarantine for 14 days. The order, though, does not apply to travel in neighboring Maryland and Virginia. News and analysis at townhall.com.
We thank the pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at relieffactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. Relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. Be the next success story.
This summer, turn your yard into the perfect getaway. Whether it's a lawn spruce-up, a fresh coat of paint, or a s'mores-worthy patio upgrade, HomeAdvisor has the best landscapers, painters, handymen, and more to get the job done right. With the HomeAdvisor app, it's never been easier to check prices, schedule, and pay for hundreds of everyday home projects in just seconds. For any project you're dreaming of, you can count on HomeAdvisor. So get the HomeAdvisor app, and we'll do everything to fix up your everything.
Plans are set for paying respects to the late civil rights icon and Congressman John Lewis ahead of his funeral next week, which will be at Atlanta's historic Ebenezer Baptist Church.
The family of Congressman John Lewis says Thursday's funeral will be private in Atlanta, but the public is invited to pay tribute over the coming days during a series of celebrations of his life. Those events start Saturday in his hometown of Troy, Alabama. On Sunday morning, a processional will be held in which Lewis's body will once more cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. That's where he and other voting rights demonstrators were beaten 55 years ago on Bloody Sunday. Lewis's body will also lie in state at the Alabama State Capitol in Montgomery, the Georgia State Capitol in Atlanta, and the U.S. Capitol in Washington Monday night and all day Tuesday. I'm Shelley Antler.
Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The story made worldwide headlines when it was first reported. A Kentucky teen now and a Washington Post have settled a lawsuit over the newspaper's coverage of his encounter with a Native American man, all caught on video.
The incident happened while Nicholas Sandman was at the 2019 March for Life rally in Washington. According to his lawyer, Todd McMurtry, Nicholas Sandman agreed to settle with the Post because the Post was quick to publish the whole truth through its follow-up coverage and editor's notes. Nicholas Sandman sued the newspaper for $250 million, alleging that it had engaged in targeting and bullying and modern McCarthyism. Sandman also settled with CNN last January. Those terms were not disclosed. Sandman also tweeted, "We've settled with the Washington Post and CNN. The fight isn't over. Two down, six to go." Keith Peters, Washington.
More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. We bring you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites.
You'll hear from experts on national security, the environment, veterans affairs, world politics, and everything in between.
Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your John Deere Ag and Turf products.
Join us every Sunday from noon until 2. wethepeopleradio.us.
Hey, welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Well, I am glad that we have arrived at that point in American history where every single aspect of American life must be woke. Every single one. Like, you want to watch a baseball game? Wrong. You cannot watch baseball unless you are woke. And frankly, I'm happy about it. I want more politics in everything. I want politics in my coffee. I want politics in my sports. I want politics in my brand of toilet paper. And let me just tell you this. You know, there's that commercial with the Bears, you know, the Bears who use the toilet paper? If those Bears aren't kneeling by the end of this year, I'm not buying Charmin anymore. It's over for Charmin. You know Bounty, the quicker picker-upper? If Bounty does not quickly begin to mirror social justice messaging, well, I mean, I'm just going to have to find some other. I'm going to have to get that other generic stuff from the Walgreens. Like, that's just the way this is going to work. Every single aspect of American life must mirror the woke privilege. It must. And you know what? I'm happy because it seems like we're going to ostracize people who refuse to go along with this, which is really necessary. Dan Gartland reporting on an evil, evil man. Who is this evil man? Giants reliever Sam Coonrod. You haven't heard of him until just this moment. What exactly did he do? Well, every player and staff member from four MLB teams took a knee last night before the national anthem to show that America is systemically racist or something. Because I need, obviously, people from a vast walk of, like, a huge variety of races and ethnicities and backgrounds earning millions of dollars to throw and catch a baseball. I need those people to kneel to say how terrible America is. So they all did it last night. It was really, really exciting stuff. You can see the video of people doing this at the Washington Nationals-Yankees game. They're all kneeling. They're holding a very, very long black cloth, which apparently means we've solved racism in America and contributed to the healing of the country. We also heard a video at the Nationals-Yankees game from Morgan Freeman talking about empathy or some such nonsense. Here was Morgan Freeman saying, "We can't have equality without empathy. And also, we can't have good ice cream without good feelings." And other meaningless phrases that are supposed to make us feel as though MLB truly, truly cares about social justice warrior nonsense. Here's what that sounded like.
"In order to achieve effective change and create a new canvas of optimism, empathy must lead the charge. This moment signifies our charge, our brotherhood, our unity. Equality and unity cannot be until there is empathy. Today and every day, we come together as brothers, as equals, all with the same goal, to level the playing field."
He crawled through 500 yards of smelling... Morgan Freeman. Without the voice of Morgan Freeman informing us that equality and empathy are the same thing, I don't know where we'd go next. I mean, I'm really excited about all of this. Well, there's one guy who didn't do this. Okay, again, this Sam Coonrod fellow. And he didn't kneel. Coonrod was the only player on either the Yankees, Nationals, Dodgers, or Giants to stay on his feet. Apparently, he must be shamed to the woke-mobile, Dan Gartland says. Dan Gartland says he stood out like a sore thumb. Asked to explain himself after the game, Coonrod hid behind his religion. He wasn't genuine. He wasn't sincere. He was hiding behind his religion. And this writer for Sports Illustrated knows this because he is, in fact, the Pope. I meant no ill will by it, Coonrod told reporters. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I'm just a Christian. I believe I can't kneel before anything but God, Jesus Christ. I chose not to kneel. I feel if I did kneel, I'd be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. This writer for Sports Illustrated, who is, of course, a religious authority, says, I don't go to church much anymore. Shocker. But I'm pretty sure the central tenets of Christianity are aiding those less fortunate than you and treating others with love and respect. Okay, so he's going to have to explain how kneeling for a generic message from, like, Morgan Freeman is aiding anybody less fortunate or treating anybody with love and respect. Claiming to be a Christian to explain not joining your colleagues in a call to treat others with love and respect sounds pretty hypocritical. Coonrod also said he took issue with the substance of the statement. He said, I can't get on board on a couple of things I've read about Black Lives Matter, how they lean toward Marxism, and said some negative things about the nuclear family. So what does the Sports Illustrated guy say? In response, he says, yes, the founders of the organization Black Lives Matter have referred to themselves as trained Marxists, a quote that has spread like wildfire in conservative circles in an attempt to discredit them. I don't have to discredit them. They discredited themselves. The Black Lives Matter organization is radical and anti-Semitic. But you have to be incredibly obtuse to believe that everyone who says Black Lives Matter is endorsing the specific organization founded in 2013 called Black Lives Matter. Okay, so this is the old Mott and Bailey tactic that you see so much from the left. So they'll say things like Black Lives Matter. You're like, okay, that could mean three things. It could mean one, Black people's lives matter. Totally agree. It could mean two, America's systemically racist. Totally disagree. Or it could mean three, you believe in the Black Lives Matter organization. If you say, I don't agree with the Black Lives Matter organization, that is the Bailey, right? The Mott and Bailey tactics are named after old castles. So old castles, you basically have the castle high up on the hill. That was the Mott. And then underneath the castle, you'd have like a little town. That was the Bailey. And the idea was that if somebody attacked the town, everybody would retreat up the hill into the castle. This is what people do with arguments. So they'll set up a fake argument down at the bottom of the hill, and then they will retreat to the castle if questioned. So if you say, I don't agree with the Black Lives Matter organization, they go, we're not talking about those people. Why are you even talking about that? And then they'll say, well, we just mean Black Lives Matter like generically. You'll be like, okay, I agree with Black Lives Matter generically. They'll say, oh, yeah, but you don't believe in systemic racism, do you? You're like, no. Like, aha, so you're a racist. The deliberate vagueness is the point. What makes Coonrod's refusal to kneel particularly infuriating is that the display with the ribbon was meant to be an anodyne alternative to actual protest. If you're one of these morons who still believes exercising your First Amendment rights by kneeling during the national anthem is somehow disrespectful to the military, kneeling during a Morgan Freeman speech gives you another way to show support with risking blowback. Only a handful of people were brave enough to actually kneel during the anthem. Ah, you see, that's not disrespectful to the military to kneel during one of the only unifying symbols left in American life. And we know this because the media have declared it so. Luckily for Coonrod, it doesn't sound like his decision will drive a wedge in the clubhouse. The one thing we said is we're going to let people express themselves, said Kapler. Do you want to know why Coonrod really chose not to kneel? You know why? He's wearing a MAGA hat. Oh, he's evil. It's because of Trump. It's not because he's a Christian. It's not that he has values that led him to vote for Trump. It's that he loves Trump, and therefore, he's not going to kneel. Obviously, he's a bad, 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 terrible, terrible man. But I'm so glad that our corporate overlords have embraced the radicalism of the Black Lives Matter movement. That's exciting stuff. The Red Sox unveiled a huge Black Lives Matter logo at Fenway Park, outside of Fenway Park, which has alleviated all the problems of racism in America. That's exciting stuff. And, of course, we are going to now woke scold anybody who refuses to kneel for the proposition that America is systemically racist. By the way, the MLB is going to use Black Lives Matter stencils on mounds. I've been watching baseball my entire life. I have never seen any sort of political slogan on a mound, ever. Not in history, ever. But apparently America has now reached such a point of evil systemic racism that we have to do it. It just has to be done. And if you don't like it, if you think that sport is meant to distract, if you think sport is meant to entertain, that's because you're just not woke enough. You don't understand the import of this moment. Well done, everybody. I feel like the country is moving in the right direction. Meanwhile, I got LeBron James out there, still You know, he's still in favor of Chinese tyranny, of course, but LeBron James has some very strong words about America. LeBron James, who's worth probably he's certainly worth hundreds of millions of dollars. He may be worth close to a billion at this point. LeBron James, who's worth just an insane amount of money, who has led a historically great American life, right? Growing up impoverished, becoming one of the most powerful and rich people on the planet. And now LeBron James is saying that that Black Lives Matter isn't a movement. It's not a movement. He doesn't want to use the word movement. Why? Because LeBron James says there has literally never been a movement for black people in America. Never in history. There's never been a movement for black people. The Civil War didn't take place. The Civil Rights movement didn't take place. It's all a figment of your imagination. Poof. Poof. So how exactly did a nation that used to enslave black people end up with a black president and many of its most powerful personalities being very wealthy black people? How did that happen? No idea. Just magic. Here's LeBron James saying that there has never been a movement for black lives in America.
A lot of people kind of use this analogy talking about Black Lives Matter as a movement. It's not a movement. When you're black, it's not a movement. It's a lifestyle. we sit here and say it's a movement, and okay, how long is this movement going to last? Don't stop the movement. No, this is a walk of life. When you wake up and you're black, that is what it is. It's not. It shouldn't be a movement. It should be a lifestyle. This is who we are, and we understand it. I don't like the word movement because, unfortunately, in America and society, there ain't been no damn movement for us. There ain't been no movement.
There's never been a movement for black people. Did you know that? Martin Luther King Jr. didn't exist. Malcolm X didn't exist. The Civil Rights Act never happened. The Voting Rights Act never happened. There's none of it. There's never been a movement for black Americans, ever, in history. Now, if you look at this and you think, man, this doesn't seem like it's connected with reality. That's just because you're not woke enough, guys. Just be more woke. Just accept that people who basically play around on a field or on a court for a living know more than you do. Now, listen, they're entitled to their opinion. LeBron James can say whatever dumb thing he wants, but that doesn't mean it ain't dumb. It's real stupid. That's a real stupid thing to say. Now, the politics wasn't merely limited to the woke over the course of the last 24 hours. The politics also extended into the world of COVID, which was exciting stuff. So Anthony Fauci, who has become hero of the Republic, Anthony Fauci. Now, listen, man's done some heroic things in his life, and we're all grateful for his service to the country. But I'm just wondering how it is that the chief advisor to the president, a president so bad that apparently he is solely responsible for the so-called Trump virus, how that guy is a national hero. The only reason he's a national hero, of course, is because the media perceived that he is at odds with Trump. Anybody at odds with Trump becomes national hero of the moment. Come on down, Michael Avenatti. Come on down, Michael Cohen. Come on down, John Bolton. Everybody is a hero of the Republic so long as they're antagonistic toward the president. So Anthony Fauci, whose impact on COVID policy has been like, apparently he deserved to be like the sole person who could watch baseball yesterday in person. For some reason, we're still flying in airplanes, but Anthony Fauci will not allow us to sit three seats apart at a baseball game. Meanwhile, Anthony Fauci, by the way, sitting directly next to, in a stadium in which you can easily socially distance, there are no human beings there. He's sitting like 1 foot away from other people with his mask around his chin. Serious. He threw out the first pitch yesterday. It didn't go all that great for him. You can actually see it. He walks out. To be fair, Fauci is 80 years old. I get it. But when you put yourself out there, then we get to make fun of you is basically the way this works. He threw a first pitch that is so bad that it rivals 50 Cent. I mean, it really is not a good first pitch. Well, the good news is that nobody caught anything. Also, he flattened the curve, so excellent stuff happening there. Yeah, there's the 50 Cent. Yeah, honestly, 50 Cent actually gets some distance on the throw, at least. So, good stuff from Anthony Fauci, the new celebrity and king of the Republic. Alrighty, coming up, we're going to be talking with a member of Congress about the United States' response to China. First, let's talk about the fact that social media companies, the same ones that are trying to cancel certain opinions and trying to restrict what you can and cannot see, they're making money off of you. That's how they make their living. Well, why would you contribute your data to them for free? Why not instead use ExpressVPN to shield your data? You can also shield it from hackers and people who seek to make money off of you. If you've ever wondered how free-to-access sites like Twitter make all their money, well, they track your searches, your video history, everything you click on, and then they sell your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding that IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN could not be easier to set up. You download it, you put it on your computer, it's like 1 minute, and then you just click and you are protected forever. It just runs in the background of your computer, will not slow down your internet, which is a big thing for me. It's finally time to say no to censorship and take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/ben. By visiting my special link, you get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Ben. ExpressVPN.com/Ben to protect your data today. ExpressVPN.com/Ben. Get an extra 3 months of service for free. All right, coming up, we'll be joined by Representative Jim Banks. He is an expert on the China situation. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Who hasn't felt protective lately of our families, our communities, our resources? In times like these, we all fight to make sure our people are safe. But at the American Cancer Society, our people, our community, our family is made up of millions of cancer patients and their families. So keeping them safe takes everyone's help. During COVID-19, help us keep vital resources available to cancer patients. Please donate to the American Cancer Society at cancer.org.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and a perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
Hey, and welcome. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. Got a lot to get to this hour. A little bit later on in the hour, we're going to be talking with the acting DHS Secretary, Chad Wolf. We're joined on the line at this moment by Representative Jim Banks. He is the representative from Indiana's 3rd District, Navy veteran, sits on the House Armed Services Committee, and is co-chair of the Future of Defense Task Force and a member of the House China Task Force. He's also running to chair the Republican Study Committee next term. Representative Banks, thanks so much for joining the show.
Hey, Ben. Good to be with you.
So let's talk about China. Obviously, we are now in a diplomatic row with China after we told them to basically get out of Houston. They were using their embassy, apparently, as a spying center. And China has been routinely attempting to steal America's intellectual property. They've been cheating on the trade deals. They are currently shipping, apparently, a million Uyghur Muslims into concentration camps. And they've just invaded Hong Kong, effectively speaking. What sort of measures should the United States be taking against China, and how should we view them? Should we view them as sort of a geostrategic foe, or is just a mildly antagonistic nation?
Yeah, well, first of all, Ben, for 40 years we've lived in a fairy tale in America that we can turn a blind eye to China's abuses of toward America, stealing our jobs, stealing our intellectual property. For 40 years we've had leaders at the helm who have turned a blind eye, who have taken a soft approach, living in this fairy tale that somehow China is going to emerge as a free democratic nation that wants to play ball with the United States of America. And it just for 40 years it's failed. That policy has failed until Donald Trump campaigned on being tough on China and has taken a very tough posture over the 4 years that he's been president. The actions of the last 24 hours of shutting the consulate in Houston was necessary. What we know now is that was the hub of, they say, 80% of counter espionage activities in the United States on China's behalf, on the CCP's behalf, has been run out of the Houston consulate. So shutting it down was a tough act by Secretary Pompeo, but it's just skimming the surface. I mean, the FBI has said here in the last few days that they open up a new counterintelligence investigation against China every 10 hours. The American people don't hear a lot about that because the American media doesn't report it, because it sits on the side of, once again, of a president who's been right on these issues, who's tough on China. The American media, the mainstream media, is never going to report that because it shows that President Trump is doing exactly what he should do to project a tough posture toward China. And which is what the new era of American activity needs to project.
So, Representative Banks, what kind of tools does America actually have at its disposal? Obviously, when it comes to Hong Kong, Hong Kong's freedom is now gone. I mean, we've actually watched for the first time, really since the post-Cold War era, an entire state being taken over by another state, and nobody has basically said a word. Europe has run the other way. The British government has run the other way. Nobody seems willing to stand up to China. At the same time, nobody wants to get into a shooting war with the world's second most populous country after India. So what exactly should the United States be doing in order to take a counter to the Chinese aggression?
Yeah, if you listen to Secretary Pompeo's speech yesterday, which, by the way, I think was the most important and pivotal speech that he's given as well as Secretary of State. It was at the Nixon Library, appropriately, where Secretary Pompeo talked about rallying the free world to challenge communist China. I mean, we are, whether we want to use terms like the new Cold War or not, we are in a new Cold War toward China. So what tools do we have at our disposal? I mean, you talk about Hong Kong. I've heard Secretary Pompeo, National Security Advisor O'Brien, both talk about moving the financial hub that is in Hong Kong away from Hong Kong, maybe recognizing Taiwan, maybe moving that financial hub to North America, to friendlier places. If China is not going to accept and recognize the freedoms of the people of Hong Kong, then we shouldn't reward China by continuing to let them have it both ways. So we have many tools at our disposal, from continued sanctions or acting out like we never have before, and taking actions like we did in shutting down consulates and making a large ideological statement by doing so. Now, as you know, we've talked before about the China Task Force that I'm a part of. Unfortunately, Democrats refused to join us in this very important endeavor. But by October 1st, the China Task Force will publish a report that will be that will have a compilation of a number of options that both Congress and the administration can take, whole of government approach toward how we relate to and how we do business with China moving forward. There'll be a trade component, holding China accountable for not holding up their end of the trade deals. There will be a military component, building up our military to counter the Chinese military, and there will be an ideological component to that report. So stay tuned for that. That will have a lot of substance in that report, and I hope that Congress and the president and his administration take those recommendations seriously.
I mean, Representative Banks, it really is astonishing to me that Democrats have not jumped on board with this. This really should be a bipartisan issue. I mean, the human rights violations that China's been carrying out are perfectly obvious. Their theft of intellectual property is perfectly obvious. And when I've spoken behind closed doors with Democrats, they sound a lot like Republicans on these issues. Is it just pure dislike of President Trump that is preventing some sort of bipartisan coalition from forming here?
It really is. I don't know what the Chinese Communist Party has on the Democrats, but the fact that they're completely silent, complicit, and ignoring the activities of China should tell the American people everything that they need to know. Also, like you, I've had private conversations with rank-and-file Democrat members who, for years on Capitol Hill, I've worked with on China-related bills. I serve on the Armed Services Committee with a lot of our activities related to that. I mean, prior to this election season that we're in the midst of right now, Democrats were willing to partner and co-sponsor bills. I would co-sponsor their bills, but they're afraid of their leadership at this point because their leadership has threatened them. Do not put your name on a bill that is tough on China, because if you do, it will be perceived as if you're agreeing with President Trump, and we can't do that in an election year. I mean, it's outrageous that you would hear something like that from Democrats, but that's exactly specifically what I've heard from my Democrat colleagues who are afraid to tread into these issues. Even Nancy Pelosi was a known China hawk until President Trump was elected, but because President Trump holds the mantle as the first president in my lifetime to be tough on China, these Democrats are fully unwilling to do anything that would show that they agree with him and support him in these efforts. The most important efforts that we should be addressing, because China is the greatest existential threat that America faces today.
Representative Jim Banks, Indiana's 3rd District, thanks so much for your time, and thanks for standing up against Chinese aggression. Representative Banks, really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Coming up, we're going to be joined by acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf. He's come under a lot of fire for allowing federal law enforcement to actually, you know, enforce the law. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. With all the talk about gun control and stripping firearms rights from law-abiding citizens, I just want you to remember that our country was founded on the idea that we would each be accountable to ourselves and each other for the safety of our society. Another important responsibility we have is the safe and effective use of a firearm. If that is your choice, give NFI a call at 999-1822 or find and register for one of our popular CCW courses at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
For over 45 years, Clyde's Home Entertainment is the place people turn to for locally owned expert advice on electronics that turn your home into a theater. Clyde's goes the extra mile for their customers. They have a huge selection of audio and video accessories and equipment. Whether it's the latest 4K television or a hard-to-find accessory, Clyde's is the place for all your home electronic needs. Clyde's is a full-service dealer for Samsung, Klipsch, Yamaha, LG, and more. They offer full-service Dish Network. Be sure to ask about the current monthly specials. The original, and still the best, Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell and Reading. They have it all. 221-4144. That's 221-4144. Clyde's.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
And punitive collection activity. Call to take advantage of these temporary tax relief options to resolve your tax debt today.
Call 800-555-1212. That's 800-555-1212. Again, 800-555-1212.
There's a solution to hunger and poverty for millions. Farming families in developing nations can access food and flatten the curve on environmental harm. Nonprofit Trees for the Future is training farming communities to rethink how they farm using trees. Farmers are improving their nutrition and income so they can weather any storm. Learn more at trees.org/radio. That's TREES.org/radio. This message is sponsored by Trees for the Future. Sure.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. We're joined on the line by Acting Department of Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf. Acting Secretary Chad Wolf, of course, has been ripped up and down by the media for the great sin of having deployed federal law enforcement to actually protect federal property. Mr. Wolf, thanks for joining the Ben Shapiro Show. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So let's talk about what exactly federal law empowers you to do as the Acting Secretary of Homeland Security. You've been doing this since 2019. According to the media, apparently you are engaged in terroristic and fascistic activity because you have deployed federal law enforcement to apparently just randomly willy-nilly kidnap people off the street and send them to Gitmo or something. So what exactly are federal law enforcement agents doing, and what are their empowering statutes that allow you to do it?
Sure, absolutely. Now, I think there's a lot of false narratives out there. So specifically when we talk about Portland, I think it's very important for folks to understand exactly what we're doing. What we have seen since the George Floyd death in late May is increasing violence in Portland over a series of weeks and months. And as that violence became very violent, as the protesting became very violent, towards the end of June, early July, we saw more and more attacks against the courthouse there. The courthouse is federal property. DHS, the Federal Protective Service, has a mission given to us by Congress, statutory mission to protect federal facilities, including that courthouse. The small cadre of Federal Protective Service officers there in Portland were being overrun by violent criminals every night. So we surged a number of law enforcement officers there to protect that courthouse. That courthouse is the seat of justice there in downtown Portland, and that's our mission, and that's what we do. So we have been engaged with violent anarchists and criminals every night for about 55 nights in a row as they try to burn down that building, as they try to hurt law enforcement officers, kill law enforcement officers, set fire, and do a number of other destructive things. So we're not roaming around the city streets of Portland. We are protecting that federal facility. And, of course, we're arresting individuals that commit criminal acts. We've been called stormtroopers. We've been called Gestapo. We've been called any number of names. And it is it's disgusting. It's dangerous. And it's irresponsible at the end of the day. These are law enforcement officers. These are patriots that put their lives on the line every day to protect communities, to protect federal facilities. And we need to understand what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with peaceful protesters. We're dealing with violent criminals at the end of the day.
Presumably the acting DHS Secretary Chad Wolf. So Secretary Wolf, one of the criticisms that's been charged at DHS has been supposed lack of identification. Now, I've seen the videos of DHS agents and other federal law enforcement on the streets in Portland. It seems like everybody has a police identification badge and that folks are wearing which branch of the government they're from on their sleeve. What is the story about identification?
Absolutely. So all of our officers are in uniform. They have different uniforms. We are a uniform department, but we have different agencies throughout doing different missions. So our Federal Protective Service officers wear one uniform. Our CBP officers wear a different uniform. Despite what uniform, despite what color they are, they have police insignia on the front in big block letters. It says police. It says the same thing on the back. It also has a patch from where they are from, whether it's FPS, whether it's our Customs and Border Protection, or Immigration and Customs Enforcement Office. So that is on there as well. So the insignia is there. Individuals may not want to see it as they are being arrested. As you can appreciate, when you're arrested, you don't want to be arrested, and so you're looking for reasons to do something to law enforcement. What's not on their vest, what is not on their uniform, is their name, is their actual name. So John Doe, John Smith is not on their uniform. And there's a specific reason for that, because what we know is these criminals have doxed many of our officers, put their personal information on the internet, on Twitter. Individuals are showing up at their homes, and it's very dangerous, obviously, for them, but also for their family. So we have put other unique identifiers on their uniforms so that we can identify them. We can hold them accountable if we need to, but their names are not on there. And I've seen legislation and draft amendments from certain members of Congress telling us to put their names on their uniform. And I'm not sure why you would want to do that. I'm not sure why you would want to put law enforcement officers in harm's way intentionally.
We're speaking to the acting DHS Secretary, Chad Wolf. So have you been able to coordinate with the law enforcement on the ground in Portland? Obviously, Mayor Ted Wheeler has been pretty open and obvious about his desire to see the federal agents leave. The governor of Oregon has said the same thing. How's the interaction with the police been? I heard a report earlier today from a journalist on the ground who said that the police are essentially absent, that they've been told by the mayor to stand down and essentially let the rioters and looters run roughshod through this area of the city and attack the federal building. What's the level of coordination been between the feds and the locals?
Yeah, Ben, I think that's a good description of the coordination. I think at the ground level, our Federal Protective Service officers there, Portland Police, they certainly respect one another. They understand the job that they have to do. But Portland Police have been hampered on their ability to carry out their mission by local leadership. The mayor of Portland is also the police commissioner. So as you can imagine, he's providing specific direction to what they can and can't do. And they are being handcuffed in providing any service, any assistance to federal law enforcement. So I called the mayor and the governor about a week and a half ago. I specifically asked them, what do you need from the department so that you can take action, so that you locally can take action and bring this violent activity to a close? Their response was twofold. One, I don't need anything from you, and you need to remove all of your law enforcement officers from the city of Portland. I'm not going to do that. Enforcing federal law is not by invitation. It's not by invitation of any other federal law enforcement agency. So the FBI doesn't ask for invitation to come into any state or city to enforce federal law. It's what we do. We do that in coordination with local jurisdictions when they want to be helpful. But what we've seen over time in Portland, if you go all the way back to 2018, just 2 years ago, an ICE facility, federal facility, was laid siege to by, again, these violent anarchists for over 28 days. Portland police didn't do a thing about it, not one thing. We had to, again, surge federal resources in there and essentially rescue that office. We know from Portland has also, the city council has passed a resolution preventing Portland police to supporting or helping federal law enforcement officers. Even if perhaps their life is in danger, they can no longer help. So it's becoming a very, very dangerous place. We'll continue to try to work with them. But unfortunately, as you mentioned, the mayor has turned, is really, playing politics over public safety at this point.
This is the acting DHS Secretary, Chad Wolf. Secretary Wolf, one of your predecessors, Jay Johnson, suggested that the presence of federal law enforcement in Portland is, quote unquote, increasing tensions. What do you make of that argument? It seems to me that federal law enforcement only got there in the last 7 minutes or so, and these riots have been going on for about 2 months at this point. What do you make of the argument that this is just increasing the escalation?
Well, I think, again, I appreciate former Secretary Johnson's service to the department, but I think he's wrong on this point. So what we know is really the contingent of federal law enforcement showed up on July 4th. If you go a couple days earlier, the mayor, in his own words, says that there has been violence ongoing in Portland for over a month, and he says it's having a very detrimental effect to the city. He basically says it's out of control. You need to stop. So he's admitting, well before we got there, that the city is in this violent activity. It was violent then. It continues to be violent now. And this idea that federal law enforcement, by protecting federal buildings, we're somehow inciting violence. By holding people accountable for their criminal acts, that we're somehow inciting violence, or the fact that we're protecting federal law enforcement, that we're somehow inciting violence, it's completely backwards. I don't understand that logic. And I think most reasonable Americans know that that logic is flawed.
Secretary Wolf, one of the other questions that's come up is the question of how federal law enforcement is armed. You've seen this from some libertarians, the suggestion that it's quote-unquote militarized police and that this is leading to escalation and the possibility of violence. How should our federal law enforcement agents be armed?
Yeah, again, the folks that we have on site there are armed with less than lethal pepper ball spray, CS gas, and the like. This is the only way that we are able to disperse the crowd, and in many times it's very difficult just to do that. We see these individuals, again, these individuals are showing up between midnight and 5 a.m. every morning. These are not peaceful protests. I want to be very clear about that. We see peaceful protesting going on in Portland, but these are not peaceful. They come, they're dressed in all black. Many of them have military-style gas masks on, so we're able to address them. They don't move. They don't. They're not dispersing. That we continue to protect the facility. Now, as we do that, we've put up a perimeter. We've put up a fence. They are active night. They have power tools out there. They are trying to take apart. They hook ropes to vehicles trying to pull down the fence. And they're doing this in a community square where everyone knows what they're doing, getting any assistance from law enforcement officers. So what's different than any is that local support. Usually local state law enforcement are individuals like these. In Portland, that's not occurring. So we can either hold people accountable for criminal acts or not. We are taking the decision that we see individuals, we're going to professionally, we're going to arrest in a non-style, we're going to try to not to escalate, but we're going to hold those that are committed.
Now, Secretary, I want to ask you also about the conflation that the media seem to be making between federal deployed to Portland under the guise of protecting or for the purpose of protecting federal property and the surge that we're seeing in Chicago. There are a couple of different federal enforcement being invoked here.
Right.
They conflate the two to suggest that they are exactly the same or that you're going into Chicago. So what are you doing going after gang members? Operation Legend, and what exactly are you doing that is doing here?
Question. I'm glad you asked it. Two very different operations. What you see in Portland than any other city, in its violence, direct facility, we see state and local law enforcement. There's no reason to surge resources in. I've told the mayor, I've told others, if you step up and you end the violence towards the act in Portland at the courthouse, there's no need for a surge of there. I have a surge of law enforcement doing their job, and I'll continue to do Operation Legend, it's led operation. That is dealing with individual street crime, criminal act, whether that's gangs, whether that's illicit narcotics and the like. We have OSIDES task, a number of task forces with these issues in every metropolitan. The idea of Operation Legend is to influx a number in there so that we can more targets, go after more targets, eliminate that violent crime that we see on city streets every day. One, in Portland, we're dealing with violent overthrow of the government. In Chicago, Albuquerque, you're just your gang-related crime, violent crime that you would see on the street that metropolitan areas is wildly out of control.
Well, Secretary, really appreciate your time. It's Acting Chief Chad Wolf. Thanks for stopping by, and thanks for what you're doing to try and restore some semblance of law and order to a country that seems to have lost its collective. Appreciate it, sir.
Right. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
We are going to be getting in on COVID-19. People are suggesting that we are running back into New York willy-nilly. This is kind of – it is not. We're going to get to that. But first, there has not been a whole lot to smile about these days unless you're an Antifa or something. But getting better one day, you will smile anew. Absolutely straight. Make that happen. Candid clear aligners. They're comfortable, removable, unlike wire braces. So you can transform that smile without anyone noticing. Plus, your treatment is prescribed and monitored remotely by us, who's an expert in tooth movement. Candid only works with orthodontists, never general dentists like other companies. And with some of those other companies, you may never go through treatment, which is ridiculous. With Candid, it includes remote, same orthodontist, so you never have to wonder how you're doing. You will always know. The average Candid treatment is just 6 months. It's way before then. Costs an average of 50% less. Fine. If you're ready to take the first step toward getting that dream smile you can't wait to show off, get started today from the comfort of your own home with Candid's risk-free starter kit and $75 off. Go to CandidCO.com/Ben and use code Ben. That's CandidCO.com/Ben, code Ben, for your risk-free starter kit and $75 off. CandidCO.com/Ben, use code Ben. Already coming up, your COVID-19 updates. Apparently, we are about to all die again, but not so much. This is the Ben Shapiro Show.
If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes, you need a new start. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Call 1-800-312-9970. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-312-9970.
In uncertain times, you can be...
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge, defending your rights as a Christian, a parent, and a citizen. Here's Brad Dickus.
California lawmakers created a new statute in 2018 preventing public employers from disparaging unions. The statute was designed to undercut the 2018 Supreme Court Janus decision, which gave public employees an opt-out right from paying any union dues. Now, seven elected officials in California are suing the California Public Employment Relations Board for violating their First Amendment rights of free speech. Well, Pacific Justice Institute will provide free legal help to any employees who, as a matter of conscience, seek to opt out from paying union dues.
The Pacific Justice Institute provides legal representation to individuals without charge. Learn more at pacificjustice.org. That's pacificjustice.org.
Hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt? Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs. Call Civic Tax Relief for free information now. Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs you qualify for free. Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Welcome back. This is the Ben Shapiro Show. So, how deep is the disaster in the United States as far as hospitalization? Well, we have hospitalizations near the all-time high, but a lot of those hospitalizations are not going to result in death in the same way that they did in New York. The reason being a lot of young people getting this thing. A lot of young people. The rates on death by hospitalization are down like 80%, according to Oxford. So to treat this as though it is exactly the same thing as it was early on in the pandemic is just not correct. It's just not real. Hey, the reality is that we have seen an uptick in death. We're seeing about 1,000 daily deaths, 1,200 daily deaths, depending on the day. At the height of this thing, we were seeing 3,000 daily deaths, with apparently the same number of infections, basically. So what that means is that we've gotten better at treating this thing. Does that mean that we should be sanguine about it? Absolutely not. Does that mean that we are about to be on the verge of the country being overwhelmed? Not so much either. We've also seen that in Arizona, there's a falling case and completed test count. So we're starting to see a decline in Arizona. We're starting to see Texas decline. We may be seeing Florida starting to flatten out. So that is a good thing. And meanwhile, Dr. Deborah Birx was on national television explaining yesterday that she believes that we are on the verge of three New Yorks. Now, if we were on the verge of three New Yorks, presumably we'd be talking about at least 3,000 deaths a day. At least 3,000 deaths a day. Maybe more, but that's not where we are right now. Here's Deborah Birx.
We already starting to see some plateauing in these critically four states that have really suffered under the last 4 weeks. So Texas, California, Arizona, and Florida, those major metros and throughout their counties. And I just want to make it clear to the American public, what we have right now are essentially three New Yorks with these three major states. And so we're really having to respond as an American people, and that's why you hear us calling for masks and increased social distancing.
So I just have a question, which is, she just said they're plateauing. So they're not like New York, and they've not been like New York. If it's three New Yorks, right? New York was getting 1,000 deaths a day. Florida is getting like 120 deaths a day. California's getting like 100 deaths a day. Texas, same deal. Those are not great numbers. Those are not numbers you like. They're trailing indicators. But that's an exaggeration to say that we are on the verge of three New Yorks. It just is. This has led President Trump to cancel the Republican convention in Jacksonville, which makes perfect sense. He's just going to get blamed if there's any outbreak over there. Anyway, he said, we won't do a big crowded convention per se. It's not the right time for that, which, again, makes perfect sense. You got to say that the luck of Joe Biden to run during a pandemic where he is not asked to be energetic in any way or drive a crowd in any way is pretty astonishing on just a political level. But when it comes to COVID, I will say the best story of the day is Andrew Cuomo, who continues to just be awful at his job. So Andrew Cuomo, after shipping a bunch of olds back into the nursing homes with COVID, Andrew Cuomo has now announced that you cannot sell chicken wings at a bar. And if you're at a bar and you sell chicken wings, then you have violated the law. So the way this works is that in New York, he doesn't want the bars open. However, bars have been selling food because they want to continue to make money and operate. And Andrew Cuomo said, well, I'm then going to dictate what kind of food you can serve. So he's not going to make it that the bar can be open. It's just you have to socially distance. He's going to shut down all bars unless the bar serves a kind of food he likes. So here he is explaining the difference between serving buffalo wings and serving sandwiches. Here's Health Commissioner Andrew Cuomo.
To be a bar, you had to have food available. Soups, sandwiches, etc. More than just hors d'oeuvres, chicken wings. You had to have some substantive food. The lowest level of substantive food were sandwiches.
The lowest level of substantive... What the hell is this? You know, they say that Trump is a fascist and a tyrant. I don't see Trump going around being like, let me tell you the difference between a hot dog and a taco. Let me explain. You can have Buffalo Wild Wings, but you cannot have any of the hors d'oeuvres at Hooters, one of my favorite restaurants. Like, what is this garbage? This guy? This is the one that you want to uphold as, like, the king? This one? Seriously? Hey, I guess the answer is yes. This is the answer, is that Andrew Cuomo is, in fact, incredible at his job. Who the hell knew? Who knew? He's amazing. By the way, worth noting, President Trump being blamed for everything on earth. Right? Democrats keep saying it's the Trump virus every day. Why isn't the Trump administration doing more? We are currently seeing a surge in California. It is the virus epicenter once again, according to no less than the New York Times. According to the New York Times, when everything shut down in March, as coronavirus took off in California, Cantor's Deli, a mainstay in the Fairfax District of L.A., laid off dozens of employees. A few months later, it called them back to work. Now, California's caseload is exploding with rising deaths and hospitalizations. As quickly as things had opened up, they have to shut down again. Jacqueline Cantor, among the third generation of her family to run the restaurant, she said, I have to call those people up so many times, starting March 15th, saying, I'm sorry, we have to furlough you, then call them back, and then we have to furlough them again. She says it's emotional whiplash. That's exactly right, of course. Gavin Newsom doesn't know how to deal with this. Eric Garcetti doesn't know how to deal with this. He's talking about the possibility of a new lockdown stay-at-home order in the coming days. Already, everybody is... wearing masks around here, I can say that. But I'm just astonished at the power of Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, to create a spike in California. I'm also astonished at the ability of Greg Abbott and Doug Ducey to create spikes in Spain, Japan, and France, all of which are experiencing secondary spikes right now. Right, all of those. By the way, France and Spain have a worse death per million rate than the United States. So they're starting to see secondary spikes right now, almost as though the virus is going to move relatively unchecked through the society until it has moved through the society. And that there's not much you can do other than socially distance, wash your hands a lot, and wear a mask. Almost as though there is no actual solution to this. I know, that's anathema. There has to be a solution, but there isn't. So, here are the choices. You're just going to sit around, do nothing for months until maybe, at best, there's a vaccine in, like, March of 2021? Or are you going to acknowledge that there is an additional risk in life, that risk for most people who are under the age of 65 amounts to maybe 3 in 1,000? And that you have to get back to work and you have to get back to your life while doing the things that keep the curve flattened. That's the only way we're going to move forward, which is the reason why France has said, guess what? Even if there's another spike, we're not locking down again. I guess Trump runs France now. Exciting news. The Trump presidency has ended with his complete dominance of all of Western Europe, where he is apparently making policy. Alrighty, we'll be back here on Monday with much more additional content. Try to have yourself a relaxing weekend. In the meantime, pick up a copy of my brand new book, How to Destroy America, in 3 Easy Steps, surging up the bestseller charts. You're listening to The Ben Shapiro Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. A sharply divided U.S. Supreme Court denied a rural Nevada church's request to strike down as unconstitutional a 50-person cap on worship services as part of the state's ongoing response to the coronavirus. In the 5-4 decision Friday, the High Court refused to grant the request from the Christian Church east of Reno to be subjected to the same COVID-19 restrictions in Nevada that allow casinos, restaurants, and others to operate at 50% of capacity. The church argued the hard cap on religious gatherings was an unconstitutional violation of its First Amendment rights. Chief Justice John Roberts sided with the majority in denying the request without explanation. For a lot of Americans, the additional unemployment benefits they're getting as part of the CARES Act ends on Saturday, even as Senate Democrats and Republicans lock horns over funding for the next round of relief.
Democrats like Ron Wyden of Oregon are livid families will be losing the additional benefits.
They're telling their kids, hey, you probably have to eat a little bit less because the unemployment is ending.
But Republican John Barrasso says the additional $600 per week has meant
most recipients are paid more for not working than they would make if they actually were on the job working.
Something Republicans say has put a damper on the economy, creating a disincentive to work. Bob Agner reporting.
White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany says schools are essential places of business and children are less likely than adults to catch COVID-19 and therefore need to be back in schools in the fall.
Even if there is transmission and later studies come out, let's say, we believe that students should be going back to school because the effect on a child, we know scientifically, they are not affected in the same way as an adult.
For more news and the best analysis, simply log on to townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
Hi, this is Jay Farner, CEO of Rocket Mortgage. Making the right financial decisions has never been more important. We can help guide you to those right decisions now, when they matter most. Mortgage rates are near historic lows, so when you call 8338-ROCKET or visit us at rocketmortgage.com to start your refinance, you'll be well on your way to saving money every month. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.375%, APR 3.59%. Right now could be a great time for you to take some positive financial steps forward with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage, which could give you the boost that you're looking for. In addition, we may be able to help you refinance with little or no out-of-pocket costs. At Rocket Mortgage, we're committed to every client, every time, no exceptions, no excuses, giving you the best mortgage experience. Call us today at 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com to learn more.
Rates subject to change. Pay 1.875% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
More political intrigue involving China and Huawei, this time in Canada.
Lawyers for a senior executive of Chinese tech giant Huawei says her extradition hearing should be dropped because comments by President Trump reduce her to a pawn in a political economic contest. Mengwan Xu is the daughter of Huawei's founder, and Canada arrested her at Vancouver's airport in late 2018. The U.S. wants her extradited to face fraud charges. Her arrest infuriated Beijing, which sees her case as a political move designed to prevent China's rise. Keith Peters reporting.
Thousands of people in Warsaw and other cities in Poland protested Friday against plans by the conservative government to withdraw from Europe's Istanbul Convention against Domestic Violence and Violence Against Women and Children. They carried signs as they marched through downtown Warsaw, Women's Strike. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Doctors who prescribe opioid painkillers are being asked by the government to inform patients about a medication that could save their lives
if they overdose.
With 71,000 Americans having died last year from drug overdoses, the Food and Drug Administration wants doctors to make sure patients know about naloxone, also known as Narcan, a potential antidote that can reverse an opioid overdose in minutes. Now the prescribing instructions for all opioids like Percocet and OxyContin will suggest that doctors tell patients how to get naloxone without a prescription, and they should consider for some at-risk patients prescribing naloxone along with the painkiller for an emergency. Jackie Quinn, Washington.
Schlumberger cutting more than 21,000 jobs and will pay over $1 billion in severance as the global pandemic quashes demand for energy and oil prices. More on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR. Now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
We're going to try and wrap up the week in Chris Plant style with a little bit of fun, a little bit of frivolity, a lot of news, some mockery, and we're going to wag our fingers at some people who deserve it. There's so many places we could go today, from Major League Baseball to a Major League messed up first pitch from Dr. Fauci. It's kind of a Schadenfreude day. You know the word, Schadenfreude. It's a brilliant word. One of those great SAT words. It's the pleasure we take at the misfortune of others. When a person slips and they don't hurt themselves, but they slip and they look dumb, that pleasure you feel is Schadenfreude. When Joe Biden says something really dumb, that's Schadenfreude. When Maxine Waters comes out and says something stupid, that's Schadenfreude. And it's all good for me. There are many things we can get to today. We'll talk about what's going on in the violence surge in the cities. I've got to tell you, I'm openly a little unhappy that the RNC is not going to take place as we normally expected it to. And I understand why. The president was quite clear. The president did the right thing, and he made the announcement yesterday that the big convention would not be happening.
I looked at my team and I said, the timing for this event is not right. It's just not right with what's happened recently, the flare-up in Florida. To have a big convention is not the right time. I have to protect the American people. That's what I've always done. That's what I always will do.
Yes. Yes, that's what he will do. So immediately after making that very wise decision, Tom Perez and the DNC went after the president for that decision. Well, you know, he was holding out, ever hopeful, that we would turn a corner. But I do believe that after we racked up 1,000 deaths a day attributed to the COVID-1984 virus, that this was the wise thing to do. Look, hospitalizations in Florida and Texas and I believe Arizona are all going down, but we still have a problem, so let's deal with it. I salute the president for that. I think that was a judicious move. We're also going to have some great woke Olympics competition today. There is much, much out there for the woke Olympics, and nominations have already come in. Oh, they're just wonderful. So we'll talk about the woke Olympics nominations. If you have one you would like to make, you're welcome to send it via social media. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm pretty much everywhere on social media. Or you can make the nomination yourself via the telephone. And the phones are open for all kinds of conversations today. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. We reached out to Gordon Chang. I don't know if we're going to get Gordon Chang on the horn this morning, but with the change going on with China, the back and forth with China, we told the Chinese to get their people out of the consulate in Houston. They had 72 hours to do so, and they then had a dumpster fire to get rid of everything, and everything's sensitive. And I also think it's a pain in the butt to kind of move paper, so I don't have a problem with them burning whatever state secrets they had. And now they're telling us they're not going to leave, though. They're saying they're not going to leave. And I think that's a problem. You're not really supposed to be there. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo talked about that.
You're only permitted to be there in a diplomatic status with the consent of the host nation. It's not okay to use your diplomats to engage in industrial espionage. It's not okay to steal intellectual property. It's not okay to engage in those kind of behaviors. That's the reason we did it.
Yeah, that is the reason we told them to leave, and they're not welcome here. But we'll see what becomes of that standoff. We predicted on the first day when we told China you have to go that there would be a reciprocal response, and there has been. The Chinese have told us we need to get out of the consulate in the Chengdu province, which is in the western side of the country, far west. It's not like the big one. If they'd said you got to get out of Beijing, that would have been too big of a response. But I say keep your eyes on Houston, but also keep your eyes on what's going on in San Francisco with the Chinese consulate there, because we allegedly, according to the FBI and some people at state, we believe there are some bad folks in there. Some military people who are hell-bent on stealing all of our data. Yeah, they want to get, Russia and China both want to get their hands on whatever progress we're making on the virus and a vaccine. So keep your eyes peeled on China and what happens in San Francisco and Houston. Those are two big ones. The other story that we're watching, there apparently is another update on the situation with the McCloskeys in St. Louis, Missouri. Now we have a better understanding of what's going on with the McCloskeys and the fact that the city, whoever grabbed their guns and was investigating their guns, Mrs. McCloskey's gun, was rebuilt. It initially was not capable of firing. And according to Missouri law, you have to prove if you're going to threaten someone or charge someone with a felony of threatening to use a firearm, you must prove that that firearm is, and this is a quote, readily capable of lethal use. And based on what we've been told, it was not readily capable for lethal use. Only when it was returned to the McCloskeys was it thusly discovered that they had rebuilt it and fixed it. So that may endanger that case, and a lot of people are complaining about what that prosecutor in St. Louis is doing, reportedly tied to George Soros, and saying, what the heck is going on? You have a backlog of homicides in this city, and you're sitting here playing this game? Yeah, that's a big deal. So we'll get you any update on that. There's apparently an update on the Michael Flynn case, and I want to dive into that. It may take us into the next hour to get into the Michael Flynn case. What I do want to address is something that happened on CNN last night. And a lot of us in conservative media will watch CNN maybe with an adult beverage in hand and a notebook to take notes, and looking for things that you don't want to see, you don't want to deal with. And last night, something happened on CNN that I think is really worth spending time talking about. And it happened with Aaron Burnett. Aaron Burnett, who actually made an appearance, if you remember, on The Apprentice. She was a guest judge on one of the episodes of The Apprentice. So I wonder how Donald Trump feels about Aaron Burnett these days. She's joined the CNN crew and has been sipping the CNN Kool-Aid for a while now. And last night, she, Aaron Burnett, attempted to smear the president. Remember, the president talked in his interview a couple days ago on Fox News about the mental acuity exam that he had taken and how well he did with the five words that you were told, and then you had to repeat them, and 10 minutes later you were asked to repeat them again, and he scored on that one. It's a very difficult part of that mental acuity test. Well, CNN tracked down the doctor. CNN tracked down the guy who created the test, and Aaron Burnett had him remotely on the show and was asking him about the test. And I don't think she got the answer she wanted. I really don't think she actually got the answer she wanted when it came to these test scores. And so whenever somebody in the left-leaning side of the media doesn't get the answer they want, they go back and try and ask either a similar question or a slightly different question. They're looking for that gotcha moment, that moment when they can say, oh, Donald Trump, he's not what he told us he was. So Aaron Burnett was asking the guy who created the mental acuity exam about it and about Donald Trump's performance on that exam, especially the five words portion. This is how it came back to Aaron Burnett.
The test has been developed, and it took many years to develop it because it has to be hard enough to pick up subtle cognitive deficits that are early signs, for example, of Alzheimer's. So it's just, it is meant to be hard for patients who have a cognitive disorder. It could be somewhat hard to somebody who is normal, especially certain questions are harder than others.
So this guy's saying the test is meant to be difficult, and it could be, you know, harder if somebody has a mental problem, early onset Alzheimer's or the early stages of Alzheimer's. But this is where I think he really threw Aaron Burnett for a loop.
Especially the five-word recall. And most patients do not get the five words. Most normal people, I mean, don't get the five words after 5 or 10 minutes delay. Most of them get 3.7 words. So it's not that easy to go through the whole test.
So most people don't get the five words 10 minutes later, as the president did. And you could see, if you were watching, I'm watching Aaron Burnett's face, and I'm scribbling notes, say, pull that part, pull that part. And she was not happy about that. So she went back to this to try and find another problem, saying, well, why would somebody take that test twice? Why would they take it so frequently? Why? And this exchange happened.
And why would you take it multiple times? Would that be, you know, sort of over time to see if you were seeing a decline in memory, as you talk about this as kind of a gauge for Alzheimer's?
I mean, we usually take it often every once a year or every 2 years. If we have a concern, we want to just check if the progression of our memory is doing well, if there's any decline with time. After a certain age, there could be some decline because it's more common after 70 to have cognitive disorders, so it's not uncommon to have the test repeated once a year, every 2 years, if the person also is expressing some concern or the family is concerned.
Oh, darn it. Aaron Burnett's brain, insider brain, is going, I thought I had him there. I get him on the how many times do you have to take it? It's just perfectly normal to be taking that. And maybe a doctor wants you to take it. I wonder if Joe Biden's ever had this test. We don't know. And I know people are saying I wouldn't advise that we go that way with our presidential candidates. I want to know. I want to know all of it. I want to know where their brain is, because they're handing them the nuclear codes. It wrapped up, or at least the salient portion of this exchange wrapped up here.
So when asked about the ease of some of the questions, the president talked about the difficulty of later portions of the test. And obviously, you've just made a point. The five-word recall can be very challenging for someone even who does not have onset of memory issues. But here's how he described it.
Yes, the first few questions are easy, but I'll bet you couldn't even answer the last five questions. I'll bet you couldn't. They get very hard.
Is that fair? The last five questions are hard and you know, a fully normal person who didn't have any memory issues would answer them, would have trouble?
Actually, I think he's referring to the five words question because it is challenging. Some people get only two out of five, three out of five. So it's not everyone who gets five out of five or 30 out of 30, like I mentioned before.
So Erin Burnett could not believe that she didn't get the answer she wanted. She didn't get the damning of Donald Trump based on the mental acuity test that he talked about and bragged about. In fact, based on the guy who built the test, the guy who created the test, the doctor who came up with it, Donald Trump did exceptionally well, scored in the very higher end of things, especially since 10 minutes later he got the five words correct in order, and the majority of people don't. They get two of them, or maybe the average is 3.7. So our president is on it. And this is also why I want to see debates happen. This is really why I want to see debates happen because, well, I'll play you some of the Joseph Robinette Biden audio that we have for you today. There's new audio, and it's worth the price of admission. You want to join the conversation, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. We have some woke Olympics nominations piling up. And we're happy to take yours as well. There's news out of Chicago, too. Columbus is gone. Yeah, Columbus is gone. And we'll explain what happened there as well. It's Mike Opelka in for my friend Chris Plant on The Chris Plant Show.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show. More than 100,000 Americans have died of the coronavirus, but you don't have to be a victim. Now, New York Times bestselling author and renowned medical doctor Chauncey Crandall reveals how you can prevent and beat the virus. In Dr. Crandall's new book, Fight Back, you can find your real risk from conditions like obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, asthma, and more. Fight Back also reveals the three most important things you can do to prevent the virus. Dr. Crandall shares the natural immunity boosters that fight any virus, and he details the drugs that help and the latest on a vaccine. If you have obesity, high blood pressure, diabetes, or other conditions, you need to get Dr. Crandall's Fight Back. Newsmax calls it the best book on the coronavirus. It's already a number one Amazon bestseller. Get Fight Back in bookstores or see the free offer and save $20. Just call 800-821-3000. That's 800-821-3000. 821-3000. Or go online to fightback411.com today.
This weekend, get to Kohl's and take an extra 15% off. Save on the Ninja Foodie. Get tops for the family, $8.49 and under. And Adidas shoes for the family are just $48.74 and under. Plus, limited contact store drive-up. And get a little more for your wallet with Kohl's Cash. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com. Offers valid July 17th to July 26th. 15% off with promo code BIGSAVINGS. Adidas offers and coupons do not apply. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
At CDW, we get that multiple branches and distributed locations can leave your IT staff stressed out, like Phil here.
Hey, don't talk to me without a ticket.
Fortunately, CDW can implement an Aruba SD branch solution that streamlines IT operations with simple onboarding tools and unified management of wired and wireless connections. It's like a big warm IT hug.
Yeah, you'll still need a ticket.
IT orchestration by CDW. People who get it. Find out more at cdw.com/Aruba. Aruba, a Hewlett Packard Enterprise company.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company helps you customize your renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need. Unlike things you paid for you didn't need, like that much-needed 125-inch flat-screen TV.
It's hurting my eyes. A lot.
For your 200-square-foot apartment.
My neck isn't so much stiff as it's completely stuck.
With Liberty Mutual, get customized renter's insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Uh-oh, I'm seeing color splotches.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published?
published. Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
Are you drowning in IRS tax debt?
I owe the IRS $37,000.
Get ready for a toll-free hotline. Take advantage of new IRS tax forgiveness programs that may protect you from IRS collection agencies. They have the power to garnish your wages, put liens on your property, and levy your bank account. Civic Tax Relief can help protect you from the IRS.
Civic Tax Relief basically represented me against the IRS, and by the time everything was completed, I didn't owe the IRS anything.
Find out about the Fresh Start program that is now available through Civic Tax Relief. Civic Tax Relief's special tax hotline can help you discover all the relief programs available for free.
I would recommend anyone who has a tax problem to contact Civic Tax Relief.
Just call 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908. Don't wait. Call now. 800-841-0908. 800-841-0908.
There's a solution to hunger and poverty for millions. Farming families in developing nations can access food and flatten the curve on environmental harm. Nonprofit Trees for the Future is training farming communities to rethink how they farm using trees. Farmers are improving their nutrition and income so they can weather any storm. Learn more at trees.org/radio. That's TREES.org/radio. This message is sponsored by Trees for the Future.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
It is a Friday on the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka filling in for my friend Chris Plant. Just one more day. We have a lot to get to today. So many stories. Like I said, there's an update on the Michael Flynn case that won't be good for the Obama-Biden people. Not good at all. There's an update on Michael Cohen. There's an update out of Chicago. There is an update out of Seattle. And we're going to be having some fun with the mainstream media and giving them a little bit of
fake news. Fake news. Fake news. Fake news.
Yes, we have a fake news report coming up in just a little bit. But Alan is calling in from Fredericksburg, Virginia on this Friday on the Chris Plant Show. Alan, welcome. You have a nomination, I hear.
Good morning, Mike. I do have a nomination. So I went to Lowe's the other day to get some rope, and then I went to Home Depot to get some rope. And neither store is selling rope by the foot anymore, where they would be on the spools in the thicker versions of rope. I need, say, 3/4 inch thick for what I do with the rope. But neither store is selling the rope. They've decided to not sell the rope. They claim that people were leaving hateful signs or symbols with their loosened rope. So instead of just saying, hey, we don't want to give you access to the rope, and we just ask us for if you want a specific type of rope, we'll get it from the back, we'll measure it out, we'll give it to you. They're just not selling it at all. So now I have
really?
To go online or yep.
Do you,
yep.
Do,
now,
do you have verification? Can we get verification of this? Maybe Victoria can check it out and see if there's
verification. Yeah, it's actually on their website. The CEO of Lowe's, he actually moved first several weeks ago. He made the claim that they're no longer going to be selling rope by foot. Now, they sell the prepackaged rope, but the prepackaged is quarter inch or 3/8 inch and even smaller for like clotheslines. But I need a little bit thicker rope. So then Home Depot, I believe either earlier this week and last week, they started taking it out of their store. So here in Fredericksburg, both Lowe's and two Home Depots, neither one of them are selling rope by the foot anymore. So that's why I would like to nominate Lowe's and Home Depot for the Woke Olympics.
That is amazing, Alan. Great nomination. We'll double check before we put them in the final competition for the Woke Olympics. But if they've pulled rope because some jackwagons were doing dumb things. Oh, you're killing me. Michael Pelka in for Chris Plant. We've got more. Join us just around the corner on the Chris Plant Show.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and two sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and two fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Friendly old change, Premier in all we do.
At Premier Oil Change, you can be assured that our highly trained staff will take great care of you and your vehicle, from your air pressure to your windshield wipers and everything in between. We make it easy for you with our quick, convenient drive-through service. No appointment necessary. You just drive right in. We also perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. You're offered a free beverage to enjoy and free Wi-Fi. Earn points towards free products and services with Premier Rewards Program. Use Premier Services to maintain your new car warranty. Now that's a win-win. Drive in today. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro, located in the Holiday Market Shopping Center, or in Redding on Lake Boulevard, next to Waterworks Park, or our newest location in Anderson, across from Roundtable Pizza. All three locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
It is the Chris Plant Show with Mike Opelka sitting in just one more day. Chris will be back on Monday, tanned, rested, and ready. And depending on how the thunderstorms hit, maybe a little soaked. We don't know. What wild rain in the D.C. area last night. I know parts of the country are going to face a tropical storm this weekend. I hope it's not in your town. I hope you get to play golf or whatever it is that you enjoy. We're taking nominations throughout the show for the Woke Olympics competition. And the Woke Olympics, if you're just stumbling into us here, it is my recognition of people who have sold out to the social justice warrior class, who have just said, we're so afraid of being canceled that we're going to change everything we do, even though it's really not offensive to virtually anyone. For example, the most recent example of Lowe's and Home Depot reportedly pulling loose rope from the shelves of their stores, because if you need a certain length of rope, you'd go in. They usually have rope and chain and all that stuff. And because a couple of people have done dumb things, they have pulled it. Now, if you've been in any one of these home improvement stores, you know there are cameras everywhere, especially in the tool department. You go into the tool department, and you actually see yourself on a monitor. Why wouldn't they just put one of those rigs up over by the rope area, catch the couple of idiots who are doing the dumb stuff, and throw their butts out of the store? It's not that difficult. Common sense needs to be at the forefront of everything we're doing these days. It don't make no sense. The common sense don't make no sense no more. Thank you, the late John Prine. And speaking of common sense, should we go here? I think we do need to slap a little bit of fake news on some people, a fake news finger wag.
Fake news. Fake news. Fake news.
Anyone who is reporting that only 8% of parents want their kids to go back to school this fall is promoting fake news. The survey that is out there that has at the very tippy top of it, 8% of parents are okay with their kids going back to school. Well, you have to read below that. That headline is misleading. That headline is fake news. That headline is Bravo Sierra. What they are doing is avoiding the rest of the understanding that comes with that whole question. That question was rigged, and the answer of the 8% who would let their kids go back to school are saying, let the kids go back to school with no changes. Let them go back like it's 2018. instead of 2020 in the middle of the COVID-1984 virus. If you actually look at it, almost 70% of respondents would let their kids go back to school with some protections, reasonable common sense protections. I always want us to read at least two or three paragraphs into this thing. And there, speaking of which, we'll get into it. There's an update on the Margaret Sanger removal from the New York Planned Parenthood organization. And why isn't she being removed from Washington, D.C., and the statue, the bust of Margaret Sanger? We'll get into that as well. But Earl is phoning in from Lexington, Kentucky. Earl, welcome to the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning. It's the first time I've called this show. But I'm tired of hearing about how many children have died. So I did some research. I went and checked on how many children have died from the coronavirus. The number is very low. Now, granted, one child dying is a lot. But we've shut down our schools for 34 deaths. That's for the entire country.
And there are more kids every year who die from the flu than have died from the...
125 to 195.
And it is...
But more kids die in school bus accidents than this each year.
And this is all about politics, I believe. I know there's some health concerns, I know, but when we go back and look at the stats from the Cleveland Clinic, one of the more respected organizations in the country when it comes to health, I look at the Cleveland Clinic, I look at the Mayo, and I factor in the numbers from the CDC, even though I raise one eyebrow when I look at them. But the Cleveland Clinic says you could take all the teachers who are 65 and older and pay them to stay home. And maybe you put them on a distance learning platform and you pay other young teachers to be in the classroom as they learn the craft. But to deny the kids the socialization that helps them in their latter years and the experience that we all got. It's like when you watch tiger cubs playing with each other. That's kind of what grammar school is all about. We're learning how to interact with each other. And these kids aren't getting that. This distance learning is not going to deliver that. Even the homeschool parents understand it. That's why most parents who homeschool have their kids involved in group activities. They can play sports. They even have things like homeschool proms. I know this because we run a children's theater in Wilmington, Delaware, and we rented it out for a homeschool prom one year. And you got to see these kids because they know that socialization is important. So I'm betting the president's going to get some big push to make this happen into the GOP bill, which will have money to make the school safer because they're going to need PPE. They're going to need all kinds of things to make sure the schools are okay. But, Earl, you're spot on there. We have fewer kids dying of this virus. And the other thing that we're showing is the kids don't bring it home from school. That was one of the arguments that was constantly being made, especially by the teachers and the teachers union. Oh, well, if we let those kids, they're going to come home, and especially the kids who are in lower-income, multi-generational families, we know what you're saying, they're going to bring it home, and they're going to kill grandma. They're going to kill their abuela. No, that's not going to happen. The kids aren't bringing it home. They have stats on this. And, you know, the other thing that this will do is put mom and dad back on the job. Kind of an important thing. Don't you think? Or don't you? I do. I really do. I have another Woke Olympics nomination, and it goes to not Harvard, but Harvard might get a nomination depending on what they're doing. It appears that some folks have asked for Harvard to get rid of something that has been around Harvard forever and ever. It's not a statue of somebody. It's not a department named after a racist president like FDR or Woodrow Wilson. Nothing like that. It's a request to get rid of a board of overseers I'm not kidding. This is the actual story. Harvard is getting demands to rename the Board of Overseers. And the people are claiming it has ties to slavery. The Coalition for a Diverse Harvard, who is getting the nomination for this Woke Olympics Award, is calling for the board to drop the title of overseer because the term was often, in their estimation, used to refer to individuals who manage plantations. Well, overseer is not a word that was exclusive to plantations. Again, just because someone on a plantation used the word doesn't mean it's suddenly toxic for all, does it? Well, that's the way they're thinking. The presentation said on the 237th anniversary of the abolition of slavery in Massachusetts, we join with the Harvard Diverse Coalition in calling for the renaming of the Board of Overseers. I've never heard the term overseer and thought of slavery. Am I ignorant? I hope not. But that's who these people are. They are called the Ofendinistas. If you haven't heard the term, it's in the Urban Dictionary. You can look it up. The Ofendinista class wakes up every single morning looking for something to be offended by so they can light their hair on fire and run around in a circle and either scream racist or Nazi at you. So Harvard, you are not getting a nomination yet. We will see what happens, what Harvard does. If Harvard does change, if Harvard bends to the University Board of, if they change the University Board of Overseers at the whim of the Coalition for a Diverse Harvard, then you will be nominated as well. If you want to make a nomination, you can. 888-630-9625. 888-630-9625. We have things to get to today. I was just looking. I got a note right now. Gordon Chang will not be joining us. I'm upset about that, but that's okay. We will talk about what happened in Portland, what happened in Chicago, what happened in Seattle, the ongoing 57 days now in Portland. And you now appear to have a unified front from the mayor of Chicago, Nancy Pelosi, and the governor of Oregon. These three Democrats are lining up to prevent Donald Trump from stopping the violence. Although we heard Mayor Lightfoot may have actually reached out and made an agreement with Donald Trump. But this is the three of them yesterday.
Coming around the streets of Chicago.
The use of stormtroopers under the guise of law and order is a tactic that is not appropriate to our country in any way.
We cannot have secret police abducting people into and putting them in unmarked vehicles.
Yes, we can, Kate Brown. Yes, we can. When you realize how dangerous it is for a marked vehicle to drive around in your lawless city. And the men and women who are supposed to be there keeping it safe for everyone else, well, I think you'd agree with me. Now, Mayor Lightfoot had a real moment of truth yesterday. Maybe it could even be called a come-to-Jesus moment. Mayor Lightfoot had to flee from her home yesterday because the protesters were coming to her home. Now, remember what happened in Washington. Remember what happened in Oakland. In Washington, they finally put an end to the chop zone when the protesters got to the mayor's mansion. And in Oakland, they finally voted not to defund the police when the protesters got to the mayor's house and sprayed graffiti all over it. And the mayor realized, oh my God, they know where I am. If I don't do what they say, they will attack me, and I need the police. So I'm wondering if there was a, as I said, a come-to-Jesus moment for the mayor of Chicago. The other story that caught my attention, and I think you probably have seen it as well, involves children. And these were kids in Portland who were marching with their parents. Now, I think it's a good idea for parents to teach kids about the First Amendment and the rights that they have in the First Amendment, the right to free speech, the right to stand up and tell your government you disagree with them. And it is a right you have as long as you do it peacefully. But yesterday in Portland, the video that went viral really explains who these people are. Now, we are taught at a very young age that children are born pure. They are a blank slate. Children come into this world and they don't hate anything. They just want to be loved. They want to be fed. They want to be able to grow up. Children don't hate. Hate is not a natural thing. So you have to teach it to them. That's what we've been told. Racism has to be taught. You don't wake up and you're not born racist. You have to be taught to be a racist. You have to be taught to hate. And yesterday, this viral video showing kids probably as young as 3 years old marching with moms and maybe dads, who knows. They were chanting something that also matched the placards they were carrying, the crudely scribbled placards they were carrying that said, F the police. And someone decided, well, wouldn't it be great to take a video of the kids chanting and marching? And so they did.
All right. So,
F police.
What is this?
F police.
All right.
F police.
They
police.
Hear you, sub right?
Power to the people. You're teaching hate to children. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I've never seen anything like it. That to me is child abuse. That to me is worth a call to CPS if somebody knew who these kids' parents were. It's one of the more disgusting displays. You're teaching children to hate the people who they will ultimately need to call when someone is breaking into their home, when they need help. I just don't even know what to say. And call me a snowflake for getting mad at that. But that to me is child abuse. All right, I'm stepping aside. You want to join the conversation? Am I right? Am I wrong? Go ahead. 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. It's Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant on the Chris Plant Show.
There's only one Chris Plant, the Chris Plant Show.
This summer, turn your yard into the perfect getaway. Whether it's a lawn spruce-up, a fresh coat of paint, or a s'mores-worthy patio upgrade, HomeAdvisor has the best landscapers, painters, handymen, and more to get the job done right. With the HomeAdvisor app, it's never been easier to check prices, schedule, and pay for hundreds of everyday home projects in just seconds. For any project you're dreaming of, you can count on HomeAdvisor. So get the HomeAdvisor app, and we'll do everything to fix up your everything.
Oh, wow, Bob, that's a lot of work.
What?
You're waxing your car the old-fashioned way. Why?
Because I want the look, the protection, you know.
Well, now there's a better way. 303 Touchless Sealant. Spray on and rinse off. You're done in minutes. And it lasts longer than the wax you'll be pushing around your hood all afternoon.
Sold. 303 Touchless Sealant it is. Hey, where are you going?
Everywhere, Bob. It's a beautiful day. 303 Touchless Sealant. All the protection and shine in no time. Now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Liberty Mutual Insurance Company presents.
And Doug.
Breathe out and repeat after me. Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
Your bird is eating my candles.
Your bird is eating my candles.
No, seriously, he's making a mess.
No, seriously, he's...
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Get a customized quote at libertymutual.com.
This is John Greenhut, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. Even better, there's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-679-0969. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-679-0969. That's 1-800-679-0969.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org, givewestwood.org.
Attention all authors. Page Publishing is looking for authors. Have you written a book and want to get it published? Page Publishing will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, Apple iTunes, and other outlets. They handle all aspects of the publishing process for you. Printing, cover art, publicity, copyright, and editing. Call 800-501-3689 now for your free author submission kit. That's 800-501-3689 for your free author submission kit. Again, 800-501-3689.
If your idea of a big, bold summer is hanging out around the backyard barbecue, I've got a snack that will fit right in. Southern Recipe Small Batch Pork Rinds. Yep, it's a bold-flavored snack that's more craveable than potato chips and the perfect low-carb alternative to breadcrumbs in your favorite recipe. You gotta try the Korean Kimchi Barbecue, Spicy Dill, Pasilla Chili Cheese, and Blackberry Habanero Pork Rinds. This summer, start your own flavor adventure by downloading our coupon and finding new recipes at porkrinds.com. That's porkrinds.com.
The IRS, the world's most aggressive collection agency. They can seize your property, bank account, and garnish your wages. They cause sleepless nights for millions of Americans. Don't be one of them. If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, get protected today. Call 800-312-9970. Coast One Tax Group, protecting your bank, home, and your sleep since 2008. With hundreds of five-star reviews and an A-plus on the Better Business Bureau. Call Coast One Tax Group, 800-312-9970. Stanley from New York owed $93,000. The IRS placed a levy on his bank account. Coast One released the levy and settled with the IRS for $2,000. Mark in Michigan owed $225,000. After Coast One stepped in, Mark walked away paying less than $1,500. Call Coast One now. A 10-minute call can save you up to 93% on your back taxes. Get your fresh start today. That's 800-312-9970.
It's the Chris Plant Show on a Friday. Happy Friday. Mike Opelka sitting in one more day for my friend Chris Plant. And trying to get to all the news. We'll find out what's going on with China and the tensions between the U.S. and China as we've told them to get out of that Houston consulate. We believe they have a military spy holdup in the San Francisco consulate, and they're telling us we got to leave the Chengdu consulate in China. It's a diplomatic chess game that's going on. And I think no better guy to be in charge of it than Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. We will see what's going on there. Now, the president picked the right guy there. Right guy. I'm very happy with Secretary Pompeo. We're also looking at the Woke Olympics nominations. The Harvard diversity people have a nomination. So do Home Depot and Lowe's. And Beth is in Virginia calling in with a Woke Olympics nomination. Beth, tell me about your nominee.
Well, hey there. Thank you so much for taking my call. I've been so upset about this. I'm so happy to talk to you. My nominee is Walmart. Walmart is giving $100 million to Black Lives Matter to build an equity center. And I feel like they've lost their minds because how many months ago were they in the Rose Garden with President Trump helping with COVID and PPE and making gowns for the healthcare workers, and now they've completely flipped to the other side. I'm so upset about it.
$100 million to build an equity center. And just what will the equity center do? How will this change the world? And whose pockets is it lining? Where will it be? Is this going to be in Bentonville, Arkansas, have they said?
No, I could not find any information on where it is or what it's going to be doing, but we don't need it. Think about how much great things we could do with that money. Oh, I'm just so upset about it. They've lost my business forever.
Well, I'm going to look into this further. If they had said we're going to donate $100 million at $1 a year for the next 100 million years, I'd be okay with that. But I suspect you may be onto something. Walmart did to maybe assuage some of the anger. They did announce they are putting another $428 million into employee salaries and bonuses, and they're closing their doors on Thanksgiving Day, which I think is a big step forward, so I'm happy about that. We'll look into this. Good nomination for the Woke Olympics, Beth. Mike Opelka in for Chris Plant. Join us, 888-630-9625 on the Chris Plant Show.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.